Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
I'm Brandon Bennett. Last names?
Brandon Bennett, last names?
Oh. You said last name. I want to say my last name.
Yeah. I always say my last name.
Oh, do you? I forgot.
Yeah. Jenny and I don't.
No.
I never do.
Maybe that's the thing. You guys should do your last names, and then we should do not our
I'm
last
just going to start
names.
Doing a fake name.
Yeah.
A nom de guerre. A nom de pod.
Today we're talking about, what are we talking about, Brandon? It's your idea.
Yeah.
You tell us what we're talking about. So we're not, so you're not confused.
Is this like how many jabs can you get in before we even get into
I know, seriously, like I shoved this topic down your throat and you weren't like, I don't know, what's topic? No, the top five of 1999, a watershed year.
Yeah.
Between the last century and the new century.
Watershed year?
Watershed.
Oh, sorry. I heard watershed. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's just diarrhea.
I understand why you question that, because that's not a thing. Watershed is a thing.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So this was a difficult
It's a hard list, topic. Right? When you actually sit down and look at the list of movies of 1999.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know how I'm going to get five.
I know. It's hard.
But I can try.
Hasn't done his list yet.
No, it's right here. It's just not down to, I got a foreign film on there, you know?
A foreign film?
Yeah.
I didn't put any foreign films on there.
Well.
Yeah. USA, baby.
Okay.
The Patriots just won the Super Bowl. Come on.
Well, I was going for the Patriots.
I say that like I
shouldn't say that. All right. So we're talking about our top five favorite films of 1999. It was your topic, so start us off. What do you got?
Starts off, number five, Rushmore.
Oh.
Nice.
Released in 1999.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. That's one that I don't have to put in mind.
Yeah.
Rushmore, Wes Anderson's second film.
Yes. And the one where he really starts to become Wes Anderson.
Yes.
The Wes Anderson we know.
Is this your favorite film?
Wes Anderson movie? Probably. Up until Grand Budapest. It's definitely this.
I think we talked about this last
week. Yeah, we probably did. But this one's still, yeah, we talked about the scene with Bill Murray in the pool.
Yeah.
But also Jason Schwartzman's first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's so good.
He went from this to Freaks and Geeks. He had that part in Freaks and Geeks.
Was he on, I totally forget him on Freaks and Geeks.
Who was he in Freaks and Geeks?
He was the guy that was supposed to get them the ID, but his contact.
Are you mixing that up with Undeclared?
No, it's Freaks and Geeks.
Oh.
Because he works at the store where they sell the bell bottoms.
I don't remember that at
and
all.
And he also sells, on the side, he sells fake IDs, but his fake ID guy runs out of fake IDs. So they have to go to Kevin Corrigan's house.
Okay.
I remember
I don't remember.
I pretty much remember every guest star on Freaks and Geeks. Because I rewatch it like every year. But he's really good. I remember in the special features, he talked about how he had to shave like three times a day because he would get like a 5 o'clock shadow. Like,
hours
in. Yeah, because he was probably like 19 or 20.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Playing a 16-year-old.
Yeah. If that, right? He's like 15,
yeah,
maybe.
Like 15, yeah.
Which looks weird in the movie. Like, you can tell. That's part of the weirdness of the movie.
Yeah.
Because you can totally tell he's older.
Yeah. Well, I think that was a point also that he was wiser than he.
Yeah. Well, thinks he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinks he is. That's a good movie. That was all co-written by Wes Anderson. I mean, Wes. Well, it was co-written by Wes Anderson.
It was co-written by Wes Anderson.
Because it was also co-written by Owen Wilson.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that. That's cool.
And then he's not in this one, but Luke is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't their other brother in this one as well, Andrew?
I don't know.
I think he plays.
Isn't he the douchey older brother in Bottle Rocket?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He plays one of the guys who comes to see the play at the end.
The
Vietnam play.
Yeah.
I always forget that that what's the kid's name? What Dennis the Menace is in this too. I always forget
His like partner in crime, yeah.
Yeah.
His sidekick, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
But also the soundtrack. It's one of my favorite soundtracks of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Was this, it's one of those days where I'm just terrible with names, from Devo. Was this his first?
Mark Mothersbaugh.
Was it his first score?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It might be.
We'll have to, intern, pull that up.
I wish we had an intern.
We'll be waiting.
Don't ruin the illusion. That's when you do it.
Our intern is our iPhone. Its name is Siri. But yeah, this was a good movie. Did you guys see this in theaters? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every one of these I saw in theaters.
Yeah. Because I remember Ball Rock is one of those that a videotape that went around, at least in my high school. Man, you're drinking a big-ass beer, dude.
I haven't drank that much of it, though.
Is that a 40 or is that bigger than 40?
It is a 40.
It is a 40.
Yeah.
It is one quart.
Man, you're living off the high life, dude.
It is.
The Miller High Life.
They're not sponsoring.
But they should.
They should. Sorry.
You at least drink one of those.
Miller, I take that back. Please sponsor us.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Miller, I apologize.
You drink nothing but the High Life.
It's true. That's not true, but I do enjoy it.
You enjoy the High Life. Yeah, I remember the videotape for Bottle Rocket was going around like my high school for a while, like between all the movie geek kids. And then we figured out that this movie was coming out, and we all wanted to go see it. We were all excited about it.
This was not Mark Mothersbaugh's first movie.
No.
Because he also did this soundtrack for It's Pat.
Oh, wow. I'd like to hear that again now.
Yeah.
He also did, I forgot that he did Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so your number five from 1999. 1999's. Bottle Rocket.
Rushmore.
Jesus. Rushmore, sorry. I'm already confused.
We need to count how many times you do that, because already it's like three, I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe we shouldn't drink. Number five for me.
You're not.
I'm drinking a little bit. Number five, I'm not drinking a 40 like you. And I'm not drinking.
I'm doing okay.
I'm definitely
though.
Not drinking the Miller High Life. I'm drinking.
Now you're disparaging our soon to be sponsor.
What about if Shock Top wants to jump in the podcast?
Fuck Shock Top. I don't want them as a sponsor.
Why?
I don't know.
The dude has competitor a cool to mohawk.
Miller. He does have a mohawk. The orange slice?
Yeah, it's kind of cool because you could eat the mohawk. No, the mohawk is a wheat.
If the mohawk's anything, it's going to be a rind.
I guess so.
Is it the wheat?
Yeah, it's the wheat.
Not important.
What are the sunglasses? Not important.
Okay.
The intern's going to edit this part out.
My number five from 1999. We've talked about this in the Michael Mann episode.
I think we can just assume that they're all from 1999, right?
That's true. The Insider.
The Insider was 1999?
Yeah.
No, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's written and directed by Michael Mann. It stars Russell Crowe. What movie kind of broke him? Like, really kind of...
Gladiator.
Gladiator, right?
Because sure, right.
This was pre-Gladiator.
For the wise audience, yeah. It was Virtuosity.
Yeah.
When was Gladiator? Was it after this?
Gladiator was before.
Before this?
Yeah.
No.
No, it was after.
After.
Gladiator was after this?
Yes.
No, it was like it was like 98.
Slow it down. No, Gladiator? 2000.
2000?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then this had to blow up.
And then actually, wasn't LA Confidential before this? 97 or 98?
Yeah.
When did he blow? I still say Gladiator made him huge, though.
LA Confidential is 97.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
You know, wait, what have we been talking about? The Insider?
The Insider.
We're just going to talk
Gladiator
about
Gladiator made him
career.
Huge, but LA Confidential was like, oh shit, who's this Russell Crowe guy?
Yeah.
And yeah. Virtuosity was like 95, 94?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, that has 95 written all over it.
95.
Everything about it.
Denzel did like a stretch of like...
He still does.
Yeah.
He peppers them in. Those
he knows his audience.
Yeah. He knows that. Well, the thing is, he's so good that he can get away with it. He's still the best part of those movies. You know,
oh, for
like
sure.
He just outshines
well, Virtuosity.
The
Russell Crowe's really good in Virtuosity.
He is.
Yeah. But he's no Denzel. Come on.
Yeah, but Denzel doesn't get to do the things Russell Crowe
Denzel
gets to
does
do
not
in that
get
movie.
To do.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's.
Have you seen Virtuosity, Jenny?
I don't think so.
Oh. That's a gem.
We should watch it. It's fun. It's
let me just, spoiler alert, when we do our best of 1995, it's going to be on my list.
It has to be one of the better movies from 1995.
So The Insider, for those who haven't heard our podcast on Michael Mann, it's a story about a chemist who comes out against the tobacco industry. And
Philip Morris.
Yeah, the chemist is played by Russell Crowe, and the guy who's kind of like brings him out is a journalist, Al Pacino,
producer of 60 Minutes.
Yeah,
Sandy.
you keep looking at me like I know. The first time I
watched
this,
you specifically said you're not remembering names. Yeah. I don't know why I'm looking.
And the first time I watched this movie was right before we did our Michael Mann episode. I've seen it one time.
Oh, really?
You had never seen it before? We probably talked about that.
Yeah, I'd never seen it.
It stars also Christopher Plummer, who's amazing in it.
Yeah,
it stars a lot of people. Philip Baker Hall is really good in this, but it's a really good movie. It's categorized as a thriller, and yeah, it is a thriller.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's more one of those like corporate procedural,
yeah,
things. Less thriller.
I think this is the same thing that happened on the last episode where I would categorize it as suspense.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like Margin Call. Did you see Margin Call? Yeah, it feels more like that.
It's a suspenseful drama.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But that is my number five, The Insider. Jenny, what do you got?
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by explaining my list first.
First of all, explain one thing. What year of
high
school?
That's what I'm going to do. Okay. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Throw it at me.
All right. So I was really young in 99.
Yeah.
I was in elementary school.
Okay.
By the way.
What?
Wait a graduated minute. Elementary school in 2000.
What is graduate? In Georgia, what's elementary?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that's junior. That's the first year of junior high where I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Likewise.
But 99, I was in fifth grade. So I would have.
Holy shit.
So, really? I was young.
99, I was graduating high school.
Math is dangerous, guys.
Wait, so are we supposed to be doing this based on what our five favorite movies were
well,
in 1999?
Okay, so that's how I'm going to explain my list, because there's
films.
A lot of movies that I love. Like, my list got up to the 30s of movies I love in 99. So the only way I could figure out a list of five that I liked was to do movies that I liked back then and still like today.
That's what I did.
Because a lot of the movies in 99 I didn't see until like recently, within the past 5 years. So I didn't do those. Like Rushmore. I mean, Rushmore I saw probably within the past, I don't know how many years, but longer than that. But I didn't see it when that came out, obviously.
Right.
And there's some other movies too. So I went with kind of the teenish side of things.
Okay.
Because I liked them back then, liked them now. But they're all still good. Anyways, I already said that. I hope
you put good movies.
Also, I will say that you said you guys were just talking about how you saw Rushmore in theaters, and I didn't really go to the movie theater back then. So a lot of these I saw on VHS for the first time, and I had a really rich friend who whose parents bought every VHS like right when they came out. So I probably still saw them in 99, if not early 2000. So I will say that too.
Okay.
So it's almost like the theater for a kid, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm in a rich person's house on VHS right when it came out.
They probably had a sweet 32-inch TV at the time,
yeah,
which was huge at the time.
Yeah, and lazy boy chairs.
What is a movie theater other than our rich friend who's a jerk and makes you pay to see it?
Yeah.
Did you have that friend
that
too?
Has really nice chairs?
Did you have that friend too?
I had one. I knew a kid in the neighborhood who had a big screen and was a jerk.
Oh yeah.
So I never really got to go experience it. But everyone would go over and talk about how cool Super Mario 3 was on his giant projection screen. Bunch of assholes.
My friend in charge
Ben
is
Sugarman, if you're out there.
Wow. We have to bleep that out.
My friend wasn't a jerk, but he would be like, hey, if you guys want to go get rent movies, let's all pitch in. So we'd all like, you know, whatever coins you had.
Sure.
We go rent.
Because that's how much it was to rent a movie back then.
It was 97 cents, I remember, at the time. Just saying.
$99.99.
Yeah.
I think I was the jerky friend.
You're like, I'm going to show you a color version of King Kong.
Yes.
My dad recorded.
Yes. Yep. Well, because we would just get movies a lot. Like, people would come over to my house, and we would just let them watch whatever movies they wanted, because we went to Blockbuster a lot.
Yeah. Before Blockbuster was Video Buffs. That was our big store.
I don't remember the name of the one before Blockbuster, but we went to the video store a lot.
Yeah.
Well, the one, they had the video store inside the Albertsons.
Oh.
Whoa, you had a classy Albertsons.
Oh, yeah. I remember when grocery stores had that.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's old school.
That takes me back.
Yeah. Jenny, so what is your number five?
All right, so my number five is Drop Dead Gorgeous.
That's a good pick.
It is.
Drop Dead Gorgeous
is really good.
It was
great back then, and it's still great now. If you don't know what it's about, it's a small town beauty pageant turns deadly as it becomes clear that someone will go to any lengths to win. And it's got a great cast of women, Kristen Dunst, Denise Richards, Ellen Barkin, Allison Janney, Christy Alley, Brittany Murphy, Amy Adams, the list goes on. I mean, there's some great guys in there too, but the women are really the kicker here. And it's still hilarious today. Everything about it is funny. There's a whole scene where Kristen Dunst's trailer blows up and her mom is drinking a beer and then she survives it, but the beer gets molded to her hand. So she has to hold like a really cheap beer
for the rest of her hand.
Yeah.
I remember Alice and Janney being really good in that.
Oh, yeah. So good. I think this was probably the first time I ever saw Ellen Barkin and Alice and Janney.
Yeah.
This was, there's always been every so often there's like that cool, like, where it's just like a group of, there's this and there's Bring It On, right? That came years later. And then now there's, what's that one where they sing? I haven't seen
Pitch Perfect.
But I heard everybody loves it. So
Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
There you go.
It is really good.
But this one's really good. I remember seeing this. I remember not wanting to see this because I'm like, it's all beauty pageant. It's not for me. And then just like laughing my ass off the whole way through. It's really funny. And I thought it was R. I remember it being.
I did too.
Right? Like, yeah. I remember some like rough jokes that was like, oh, I can't believe it.
There is, because this brings up an issue with the 90s specifically and into the 2000s, but mostly in the late 90s, where there would be two movies every year that kind of felt like the same thing. And there was also Jawbreaker in 1999. Oh, yeah.
I almost put
and
that.
I used to always get this and that confused. And I think, because Jawbreaker's R, so that might be what you're thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there's like three. There's
well, Jawbreaker's like, got like, you know, BJs and I'm like some crazy shit.
Yeah. Marilyn Manson sex scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jawbreaker is fantastic as well.
Yeah. Drop Dead Gorgeous. Yeah, it is a good movie. It's funny, the director of this also directed like 3-4 episodes of The Goldbergs.
Oh. Yeah. I see it. No, so. I don't really see it.
All right. So, Adam, what is your number 5?
My number 5 is Stir of Echoes.
Oh, really?
I love Stir of Echoes.
This also brings up the same thing because you have in the same year Stir of Echoes and now I don't want to step on anyone's list if they're going to put it on there.
That other one's not on my list. I like this one better.
I know. I like it better too. I like it better than the other one.
What are you guys talking about?
Stir of Echoes and The Sixth Sense.
Oh.
Both about people seeing dead people.
Yes. Yeah.
Stir of Echoes, I
love.
Both
with creepy kids who see dead people.
Yeah, yeah. But whereas Sixth Sense is a party trick, Stir of Echoes was actually pretty good.
It's based on a Richard Matheson short story?
Novel.
Okay.
And it's David Cope, however you want to say it.
Yeah. Writer of Jurassic Park?
Yes, he wrote and directed it. And it's really creepy. They were one of the first. This is like the introduction of the whole jittery ghost thing, I want to say. Well, at least in America. I don't know about J-horror or anything, but where they decided to take out frames to make it look like the ghost was moving in a weird way.
The, like, jerky shoulder.
Yeah, the jerky movement where they were taking out
the
frames.
You've seen in The Ring.
Yes. And it's creepy as fuck. The only thing creepier, I feel like I talked about this a long time ago when we did the Ghosts episode, but the one thing about this movie that was creepier than watching the movie was when I watched the DVD for the first time, and I left the room after I put the DVD in, and I came back and like the menu changes, like it makes it look like your TV's haunted, but I didn't know that, so I came in and the menu actually scared me.
Really?
Yeah, because the menu changed. It fucked with me. It was amazing.
Well, it's one of those where if you don't do anything, the menu changes, right? Like if it plays more than
if you let the menu loop. It changes to something creepier where it looks like the girl's coming out of the TV at you. I didn't know it did that. And I had left the room. Like, it did it once, I was out of the room, and I came back, and then did it again. I was like, what the fuck just happened? And I had to, like, stop for a second, recompose. But it's so good. It's really creepy. Kevin Bacon is the main character, and the creepy kid in this, Zachary David Cope, not related to David Kep.
Oh.
He's really good, too. Catherine Erb, Ileana Douglas, Kevin Dunn. It's got a really good cast.
Painted Black by the Rolling Stones.
Painted Black by the Rolling Stones. But
might as well be a co-star.
They don't use the Stones version, I feel.
Oh, that's right.
It's like some shitty cover.
Is it, or is it like just a slowed down version?
It's a shitty cover.
I feel like this. I'm trying to look for remember the Devil's Advocate?
Yes.
That movie used that song as well. I wonder if it was the same year.
They use the original Rolling Stones one. Yeah, yeah. But like the scene that uses the actual song, it's not the Rolling Stones as a cover.
Yeah, yeah. David Cope or Kep, whatever you want to call him, wherever his name is, he's kind of like that's his bag. Like the movies he directs, they tend to be kind of like suspense or thrillers. Like mm-hmm. he did this Rear Window, not Rear Window, the one with Johnny Depp,
Secret Window,
and then he did Premium Rush. So he tends to do a lot of the like weird suspenseful movies.
The band who covered it was Gob.
I remember Gob.
Oh. Or G-O-B. I don't know how you say it.
You know what David Cope did last? Mordecai.
Oh, that's unfortunate for
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
You can see him get eaten by a T-Rex in The Lost World.
Is that who gets eaten by a T-Rex?
He is running into a Blockbuster Video.
Oh, wait, no.
The bus goes into the Blockbuster Video. He's running into a store and the T-Rex and grabs him out of it and eats him.
That's right. I from what I remember, it was cool. Doesn't he like go to a seance or something? And what's the story?
Well, Ileana Douglas is like a spiritualist. She plays his sister-in-law, mm-hmm. and he goads her into hypnotizing her. And to get him back, she leaves behind a post-hypnotic suggestion in his brain that he should be more open to things. But it works better than she intends, and it makes him open to the spirit world.
Oh,
so he starts seeing ghosts.
Oh.
And hijinks ensue.
Yeah.
And it gets really good and really creepy and really dark, and you should watch it, Jenny. I can let you borrow it.
Okay.
It's a good creepy movie. I warned you about the menu.
I know. Damn it. You shouldn't have. That would have gotten me.
She comes back from getting popcorn, and she's like, what the fuck? All right. That is your number five.
That's like the scariest part of The Ring when the girl comes out of the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen those pranks on YouTube where someone will do it to somebody who's asleep?
No, but I've seen the one where they do it in the elevator.
Oh, that's
and they make
scary.
The elevator black out, and the girl like comes opens out, up the panel and comes out, and she's just standing in the corner.
Yeah.
Like that's the most terrifying thing I can think of.
Yeah.
It's better when it's a different country, when the prank is in a different country.
They can go
pretty farther and get away with not getting sued.
Well, they also always play on these specific like cultural myths that like have no idea about.
There's
a thing there, you know, there's something about elevators or something, like maybe some social urban myth when elevators came in or something like that, you know,
like someone hung themselves in the elevator or something.
All
right, Stir of Echoes, Adam's number five. Brandon, what do you got? Number four
is single-handedly the most terrified I've ever been in my life. Without a doubt. And I know I've talked about it before, but the Blair Witch Project. Also important, this is another example of why 1999 is important. This shit all started. And it's the good one. Whereas everything, there's good found footage stuff, but this thing was insane.
Jenny, have you watched this?
I still have not.
Really?
We should watch it, because I haven't seen it since it came out. And I was a little scared when it first came out, because it was... Because you hadn't seen that type of filmmaking before, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure I said this on the personal thing, but the theater I saw it at, it was 2 weeks before it was in national release, and they were handing out, and I didn't know what it was. I don't think a lot of people knew what it was, just that it was like some cool, scary thing, and they were handing out flyers for donations to the victims' families. Like, the theater got into it.
Oh,
so,
really?
Like, it starts, I don't know what the fuck's happening.
Yeah. And you have your flyer in your hand, you're like, oh, man.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sitting in the front row, and by that last, like, 2 minutes... Like, we were, like, gripping our armrests, and I felt sick at the end. We had to stop in the alleyway because I thought I was going to throw up.
Could it have been the shaky camera?
No, because it's not in those... No, it's not. I get what you're saying. But it was seriously the most scared I've ever been in my entire life.
I'm curious to see if when Jenny watches it, to see if it holds up, you know, from someone who hasn't seen it at all and has seen... The crappy versions of that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I get scared at everything.
If we do it, we have to do it. No, absolutely no talking.
Yeah.
All lights off. And we just sit watch it. No jokes.
That's hard.
It's hard if you've seen it. But also, it's a defense mechanism. Because there will be parts where you're like, ugh. I bought it at Blockbuster, a used copy for like $5 2 years later.
You should watch the VHS version of it.
I never watched it.
Oh, really?
I sold it.
It's like a Ouija board.
I was scared to watch it again. And also, I wanted to preserve that experience. Yeah. I didn't want to watch it again and feel like it was hokey or stupid.
I didn't see it in theaters, but I watched it on like pay-per-view that same year. And it was still pretty scary.
So for people who haven't seen it,
it's a collection of found footage that these kids made searching for evidence of this urban myth, the Blair Witch, in the woods of Vermont, I think?
I thought it was Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania? Okay, yeah. Pennsylvania. And the three of them died, and they found this footage out in the forest.
Yeah, yeah, I remember the internet campaign, like yeah. where they had the foundation. I was like, well, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. They did it really well.
Yeah.
It says so Maryland good. Forest.
Oh, Maryland. Okay. Okay.
That works.
And everyone in it is so. It's a bummer that none of them really went on to do anything else.
What's their name was in Boys and Girls?
Who was?
Heather.
Oh. What was her real name?
Heather.
Heather's her real name.
Oh, yeah. It is? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, they all use their real
names. They use their real names, yeah.
Because they were really. I feel like they were really good. They were supernatural in it.
Yeah.
The only thing sadder than the fact that they haven't gone on to do a lot more is the sequel.
Yeah, the sequel is pretty bad.
I never saw the sequel.
It's so
Book of Shadows, right?
Shitty. Oh my god, it's such a piece of shit. The dude from Burn Notice is in it.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
What is? Have you seen that Saturday Night Live sketch? It's just what is Burn Notice? Yes. That's the whole game show. Yep. Uh-huh.
My number five. I mean, number four. Sorry, is Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Nice.
I remember going to see that movie, and it bombed in theaters.
Really, bombed's the right word.
It didn't do as expected because it had Brad Pitt.
I think it is the right word. I haven't mentioned this. This is a weird year for me as far as films and theaters. Like, I have a weird blank space where I feel like I was in a coma and nobody told me, because there's a bunch of movies that came out that I just don't remember hearing anything about. And this is one of them. Like, I didn't know about this movie this year. Like, I didn't know about this movie until the year after.
Weird.
It's very strange. And there's another big one where I'm like, wait, this came out? And I'm sure it'll get mentioned, so I'll wait till then. But yeah, I was like, what is this movie? And why didn't I see it?
Huh. And you still haven't seen it?
No, I've seen it.
When did you first see it?
I saw it like the spring of the next year. Okay. I want to say I saw it on VHS.
Not like years later, right?
Not years Fight later. Club. I saw Fight it. Club. Fight Club. I saw it on VHS in my yearbook class.
Okay.
Because that's what you do in yearbook class. You watch movies. Like someone brought it and we were watching it. I was like, shit. And so like on my way home, I stopped and rented it myself so I could finish watching it.
I think I used to go to the movies a lot with an older cousin, and he had actually like read the book. And he's like, we should go see the movie. So we went to go see it. And I remember him being a little disappointed, like, oh, you know, like, it's a little different. Or I forgot what was his take was on it. But I remember loving it, thinking, like wow, like, this is just, being really into movies, like, just being like, oh, wow, like, this is fucking interesting.
Yeah, this was back in the time when I would always do that. If it was based on a book, I'd read the book and see the movie. Yeah. Usually read the book after the movie.
Yeah.
And
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I remember the movie being way better than the book.
Yeah, I also thought the movie was better than the
book. It was one of those rare times like, yeah, I don't want to read that book again.
Yeah.
It was also the first time, I think, on DVD that it had a ton of filmmaking-specific extras.
Yes.
That you could just totally devour.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it's one of the very few like commentaries that has like Edward Norton and Brad Pitt in it. Like, like, he usually now doesn't do any more like commentaries, but I remember him being on the commentary, and like, it's really, really informative, like filmmaking wise, like how they did some of the in camera stuff, or how they did some of the. I mean, Fincher's always been like ahead of the game when it comes to like digital effects. I feel like he always uses them very sparingly, but they're always really well done.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, what happened?
Sorry. I love looking at the premiere pictures on IMDb because their outfits are amazing.
They're very dated.
And look how young Ben Foster is.
Oh, wow. Ben Foster looks really young.
If you're in Los Angeles, Brad Pitt's costume from this is at the Hollywood costume exhibit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jenny, when did you see
the Pink Ranger?
The Pink Ranger.
Oh. Amy Jo Johnson?
Yeah.
Amy Jo Johnson.
She's in Flashpoint.
And,
she was
like
on Felicity, too.
She's like in a Sporty Spice outfit.
She is. What is up with that?
It was the 90s, dude.
I love it.
When did you see this movie, Jenny? On VHS?
Yeah. This one I saw like immediately because I was obsessed with Brad Pitt.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I definitely saw this.
You are all into Legends of the Fall?
Yeah.
I'm worried. I haven't seen this in a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm worried to go back and watch it.
I just rewatched it. I still hold
up. I think, I haven't watched it like in the last year, but based on all the times, like I watched the fuck out of this movie.
Yeah.
It's really been tainted for me because this is a go-to movie for most male assholes on the internet.
It is, but I know.
Misconstrue.
Because they don't understand subtext. I get that. But I've just been so overloaded with like shitty memes and like graphics and dumb things from Fight Club that like, I just hope it doesn't taint the thing for me.
But
I wonder how...
It feels like an MRA guidebook now. Like that sort of thing.
Yeah. But I feel like it's a good way to tell, it's a good way to profile people online, you know? Like if they post something Fight Club-y and then like they're not saying how funny it is, you know? They're just they're being really serious about it, then you're like, oh, okay.
They're talking about like wanting to start a Fight Club. Like,
okay, well, there's a difference between loving Fight Club and Fight Club being your favorite.
Yeah.
Like if Fight Club is your favorite book or movie, probably something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not my number one.
Well, no. Like, I love this movie, and I do think it's a great movie of the year. Yeah. But if it's your favorite movie of all time.
I know people that way,
it's
though.
Your number four of all time?
No. Of 1989. I know what you're talking about. Like, if you're having a conversation with somebody, and you're like, hey, what's your favorite movie? Like, what's your top five of all time? And they're like, well, first of all, I got to talk about Fight Club.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah, there's
got to talk about not talking
about... It's kind
about-
of like, Fight Club being one of your favorite movies is kind of like... the equivalent of someone carrying around a copy of Catcher in the Rye. It's a warning sign. It's like, wait, what?
God, I hate those people. Oh my God.
It's like, are you planning on assassinating somebody at some point? Because that's what your favorite movie is telling me.
Yeah.
Oh, and Sofia Coppola and Spike Jonze went together.
Yeah, that was probably when they were together.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it. Yeah, of course they were together.
Oh, but they also, but they knew each other. Like
before that,
yeah.
They're holding hands. They're probably together.
Friends can hold hands.
I would never hold your hand, Brandon.
Holy shit! Well,
what if you were blind? Right. What if you were blind and you got your little cane?
What if you're praying?
Then I would hope he would hold my hand because I'm not.
When you're blind,
I have to take the action.
They don't want you to hold the hand.
No,
they want
you
to hold the arm.
They want to hold the arm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You fall down on the ground, hurt yourself, can't get up.
Yeah.
You're not going to take my hand so I can help you up.
Ugh.
You fall down on the ground and hurt yourself. Who do you want to punch in the face first?
Yeah. Who pushed me?
I did. You wouldn't hold my hand.
And just like the music in it, and even the way that the cinematography
that
is.
Sounded very Fight Club, by the way, what I just said.
What?
She wouldn't hold my hand, so I pushed her down so she would have to hold my hand so I could pick her up again. Yeah.
That's something Tyler would do. But I remember this is also kind of like what made me like go and look for more like Helena Bonham Carter movies. Like this, she was really good in this. I was like, where the hell is this girl from?
This might have been the first time I noticed Edward Norton.
Really?
To be honest. Yeah.
Primal Fear.
Yeah.
I mean, he hadn't done too many big things between Primal Fear and this, right?
No. Not many.
This is his second movie?
It's not his second movie.
Oh,
I doubt that.
Primal Fear was like another 95, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. But that was his breakout. For sure. But this is...
Come on, 95.
Talking about how like...
He had done American History X the year before this.
Oh, holy shit.
And that's kind of what blew him up.
That's the one. Yeah.
I didn't watch that. I wasn't allowed to watch that for years after Fight Club.
Don't tease me. When was Primal Fear?
Even though they're both pretty gruesome, American History X is a little bit more.
American History X is more gruesome.
Yeah. I didn't watch that till high school.
96.
Ah, so
there's close. There's little subtext in American History X. Pretty much wears it on its sleeve.
Yeah.
But Fight Club about like it being someone's favorite movie. Like there's slight tease. There's another movie that will be on my list that's another one where it's a great movie, but if it's your favorite movie of all time, there are problems. Yeah. There are issues.
Maybe it's my number one.
Right. It might be my number one.
So Fight Club, my number four. Jenny, what do you got?
All right. My number four, I have 1990. No, I'm just kidding. Election.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So election, I think we've talked about it before, but a high school teacher's personal life becomes complicated as he works with students during the school elections. And it's Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick. And, yeah, it's hilarious. I love it. She's, her character is perfect.
Tracy Flick.
Yes. Tracy Flick. I love everything about her.
Yeah.
Chris Klein is in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is his first movie, I think.
It's also the thing he's been best in. Because it's the only thing that has used him for exactly what Chris Klein can do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a hunky-ish idiot.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the one giving them the tour of the high school that they...
I think so.
Like, they discovered him...
Scouting.
Scouting the high school.
I didn't know that.
And he was like, he gave them the tour, and they're like, he's perfect for this character.
Yeah. They're like, he's dumb as fuck. We gotta use him. and it's Alexander Payne's second movie, right? Mm-hmm.
Citizen Ruth? Citizen Ruth was his first?
I think so.
I thought Citizen Ruth was after. Yeah, I thought Citizen Ruth was his second.
Maybe.
Citizen Ruth was after this.
No, Citizen Ruth was before this. Wasn't it?
Man, that I am...
This is his second movie, I think. But let's find out.
This one I'm pretty sure on. I've been wrong a few times so far.
Citizen Ruth was 1999.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We're going to have to
Were both 99?
We're going to have to go deep then.
Yeah.
No, 96.
No, so that's what I said. 96. You said 99.
Sorry. You said 99.
Sorry, 96.
Oh my God, that's like the fourth time you've done that.
Yeah. So Citizen Ruth, 1996.
Inside Out, 1991.
Yeah, but...
Inside Out Part 3. With Kevin Kline?
Oh, we could do Alexander Payne.
It's a Playboy movie.
For
a
director's
cut. That's
Alexander Payne?
Yep.
He has like a pretty decent amount of movies.
But not too many. Yeah. But like they're good.
Wait, yeah. Inside Out with Kevin Kline was Alexander Payne?
No, that's In and Out.
Oh, okay.
Who's confused now?
Inside Out is a Playboy to softcore
Playboy
sex films, what HBO's Tales from the Crypt did for horror.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sounds like it really changed the game.
Yeah. Well, he changed the softcore world, and then he's like, I'm done with this world. I'm going to move on to regular narrative films.
It was like, softcore was lacking a lot of quirkiness before Alexander Payne came on board.
It's a serialized softcore...
like Red Shoe Diaries, kind of?
Oh, guys, don't worry. He also did Inside Out 3.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He came back.
Oh, Inside Out sounds so violent. I'm not sure I like that for softcore.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Inside Out.
Look.
Anyway, Election.
Yeah, Election.
Okay. It's on. I haven't seen this in a long time. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
If I need to rewatch it. Yeah, I feel like I just watched it last year, though, but I love it so much. Actually.
Yeah. God, Matthew Broderick's so good in it, too.
Yeah. The end? Gets me.
God, no. The thing...
Let's all say more general things about Election.
The end. Oh, yeah. No, the thing that... and this is kind of an awful part for me to always think of when I think of Election, but it's when Matthew Broderick is... I think he's having sex with his wife, and all he can do is think of Tracy Flick, and it shows her picture, and she's like, what's his name? Mr. McAllister? Oh, yeah. That's it. Thanks, Mr. McAllister. Oh, yeah. And that's what she's saying. And it's so Tracy Flick, and it's hilarious. And he's like, and he's like shaking his head and trying to get her out of his mind. It's just like hilarious. Oh, my God. That's all I can think of when I think of this movie for some reason.
And this is a very young Reese Witherspoon, right?
Yeah. 99.
Was this her breakout?
She was 23.
This and Nightcrawler would make a good double feature. Because she's kind of like...
Explain.
Like, she's willing to do anything to get ahead. Like, she's kind of like a psycho a little bit, you know? Like, willing to get elected. Like, she's kind of... She's a tame version of what's his name's character is in Nightcrawler.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah. Can't think of his name.
That'd be a weird double feature.
It would be a weird little feature, but
Alexander Payne's movies in general just make me feel uncomfortable for the most part. Yeah,
even Sideways. I love Sideways.
I do love Sideways, but he's really good at making like uncomfortable movies.
About Schmidt.
I hate About Schmidt.
I'm not a big fan of About Schmidt, but I Sideways always if it's on, I gotta
no,
watch it.
No, like that's the one I own. I love Sideways.
Get your book published. Get it in libraries.
I love Sideways and I do own it. And I feel like we're in the minority. Like a lot of people don't love Sideways.
Yeah.
I love Sideways.
Okay.
I don't love it as much as everyone fucking loves Sideways.
Yeah.
Because it was like the movie.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, it's not my favorite movie of 2003.
We don't need to know. But Election.
God, no, I think Reese Witherspoon's breakout was The Man in the Moon, but that's just because it was also her first. But
Pleasantville, probably.
Fear.
No,
Fear.
Yeah. Fear. Nothing. Yeah. Fear was Fear.
Mark Wahlberg fingering you on a roller coaster is going to break you out.
Yeah.
96 is Fear.
Yeah.
And then Pleasantville's 98, which definitely helped.
You know what?
And then another really great movie is 99, too, which I'm sure nobody has on their list.
The one?
You can go ahead and say it. I don't think anyone does. You can go ahead and say
Cruel
it.
Cruel Intentions.
Yeah.
Freeway.
Love Cruel Intentions.
Freeway.
Freeway. Cruel Intentions was kind of...
I love Cruel Intentions.
It started...
Fuck, everyone my age loved Cruel Intentions.
Oh, yeah.
And also...
That's why I hated it.
It started kind of...
Oh, my God. Would. Shut up. Go watch Fight Club, Outsider.
God. This was, like, the dirtiest movie I ever... Like, that was the first dirty movie
I
ever
I didn't... No,
Cruel
I didn't...
Cruel Intentions, I think.
But, like, I didn't you really only, hate Cruel Intentions.
I know. But, like, you only say... Like, the dirtiest thing in it is that kiss.
No, she dry humps him.
Oh no! Yeah.
On the couch.
Oh yeah.
That's right. I forgot about the dry
hump.
And
then they have sex to Counting Crows.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's nothing dirtier than having sex
Mr.
to
Jones?
Counting
Crows.
No, it's colorblind. Colorblind.
It's not Mr. Jones.
No, I promise.
You
it's
can't
colorblind.
Have sex to Mr.
Colorblind
I mean, you can,
was like
but you
my
shouldn't.
Favorite song forever because of that scene. Also, I don't know.
That's
I'm,
weird.
I know.
TMI.
I know it's weird.
Also, didn't Selma Blair give him a blowjob?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, Selma Blair's all over him. And
oh,
listen, my base level for dirty was higher than yours, apparently.
No, there's another dirtier part, I think.
Another dirtier part.
Well, another blowjob scene. Is this in Joshua Jackson? Joshua Jackson. Doesn't he get a blowjob from Sebastian as well?
I don't remember that.
Something
part.
Like that. Or he shows up and he's getting a blowjob from somebody else, a football player or something. Anyway, it was a really dirty movie.
You know, it was thinking. Dirty.
Also, great soundtrack.
Yes.
Yeah.
99 had some good soundtracks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, yeah, Election.
Election.
That's my number four.
Okay, my number four is Payback.
Oh.
Yeah, I was hoping someone would say that.
Someone had to put it.
I fucking say what you will about Mel Gibson. I fucking loved this movie so much, especially in I watched it so much in 1999.
Yeah, wore it out.
So many times.
I like recorded it off HBO or something.
Yeah.
I would just always have it played.
Recorded it off of pay-per-view, and we just always watch it. Mel Gibson just being a badass.
Tell us a little synopsis about it.
Well, it's just an awesome revenge movie. Mel Gibson plays Porter. He gets double-crossed by his ex-wife and his partner, and then he seeks revenge.
Yeah.
All he wants is a certain... not even that large sum of money back. So nobody believes him when he keeps asking for the amount. It's like a couple $1,000, like $200,000.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. And everyone is always saying that. And that's all you want. He's like, no, that's, yeah, it's an interesting ongoing joke, but he's really good. He kicks ass. Greg Henry is hilarious. Maria Bello is great. Lucy Liu's in it as like a sadomasochistic Asian crime lord. Chris Christopherson.
Yeah. Bill Duke.
David Paymer. There's a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
I miss David Paymer. When was the last time you saw David Paymer?
I just saw him on TV recently.
Yeah. He's not playing a lot of those David Paymer roles that he filled in movies.
He was in Ocean's 13.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, it was. but yeah.
William Devane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. William Devane. This movie single-handedly responsible
then,
for me smoking.
James Coburn?
Yeah.
James Coburn? Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like this movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah.
A great little neo-noir revenge
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, it is a neo-noir. And it kind of had... Who was the director of this? Brian Helgeland?
Helgeland.
I think he also co-wrote L.A. Confidential, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's really good at that.
A Knight's Tale.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, did he direct that too?
I don't think he directed it.
He wrote it, right?
We had this exact conversation, I think, when we were talking about revenge movies.
Oh man! All right, what is your number three then?
My number three. Counting down from five. Four. Number three is Galaxy Quest.
Ah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm going to change.
One of my favorite comedies of all time and the best, like, sci-fi spoof.
Yeah.
Star Trek satire.
It's the Three Amigos in Space.
Yeah.
I love Galaxy Quest. With Star Trek. And it still holds up. I just watched it like a couple months ago.
1,000%.
Yes.
I just got it on Blu-ray.
I feel because like it gets funnier.
It does.
I think so. Yes, I completely agree.
Well, because it's nothing. There's nothing to date it. As long as like people know what Star Trek was, it will never be dated.
Yeah.
Even then, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
God, it's so good.
What do you think? Tim Allen's funny. I don't know why he's making.
He's funny.
Like why? What's up with Tim Allen?
You know? What do you mean?
Like why is
not a fan of Last Man Standing?
No.
Have you ever watched it?
I've never watched it.
I have.
Just not. You
Who
know.
Plays his wife?
I don't know. I saw the episode where.
You haven't seen it?
The Home Improvement kids came back. I saw that episode.
Oh, you watched that one?
Yeah.
Home Improvement was great.
Home Improvement was great.
I love Home Improvement.
And this will also answer your question. I watched Home Improvement with my mom every week.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That's why you don't see Tim Allen, because that's his wheelhouse. When comic actors age, they tend to fall into that category. It's just what happens. They fall into kind of the family-ish thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Wait, you asked why we don't see Tim Allen around anymore?
Yeah, in like movies. Like, I mean...
The Santa Claus was good.
Santa Claus was good.
Yeah. I never saw any of the sequels.
What was the movie he did with Barry Sonnenfeld?
Big Trouble.
I didn't mind that.
Based on the Dave Barry book.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
It was okay. It was a Get Shorty wannabe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was okay.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Ben Foster.
It had moments. Yeah.
I think it had too large of a cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's too many people. And too many really good people.
Andy Richter
was really funny. Janine Garofalo and
Putty.
Putty were hilarious together. That's the thing. There's too many great people where I was like, I just want a movie about this. Like, each of these things needs their own movie. Like, I just want to watch a buddy cop movie with Putty and Janine Garofalo.
Wasn't Johnny Knoxville in it too?
Yes. Johnny Knoxville and Tom Sizemore.
And Sofia Vergara.
I don't remember her in it, but I remember Johnny Knoxville and Tom Sizemore were a duo. They were like the two homeless guys who were convinced that the bag that was a bomb was actually money or something secret.
Yeah.
Like there's so many subplots. There's like, pick one, make that a movie.
Yeah.
Don't put them all together.
It was visually cool because it was Barry Sonnenfeld, but I don't know. Other than that.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Big Trouble.
Big Trouble.
Oh.
Tim Allen.
Yeah.
But Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest.
Justin Long is in this?
Justin Long.
God, yeah, I always forget.
Everybody. Sam Rockwell. So
this
good.
Was before Sam Rockwell blew up.
Yeah.
But
he played Guy.
God damn it, he's so good. Have you guys even seen the show?
He's a look around you. Can you form a rudimentary lead?
Tony Shalhoub.
Alan Rickman.
As the frustrated Shakespearean actor. Rainn Wilson as one of the aliens, yeah.
Missy Pyle?
Yep, Missy Pyle plays one of them. And I can never remember his name. Ricardo, right? He was on Just Shoot Me for forever. He played the photographer. He plays the other alien, the like leader that is getting them to come back to the ship.
Oh, yeah. I don't know his name.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, Sigourney Weaver is the voice of the computer.
Yeah.
Well, no, she's the one who just repeats what the computer says.
Right, right. Yeah, sorry.
She's like the trans.
Enrico Colatoni.
Colatoni, that's it. Not Ricardo.
Yeah, totally fucking up.
But that's Italian. Can't call me racist.
Yeah, it's kind of racist, dude.
But like everything works in it. Like all the, like Alan Rickman is the jokey actor, you know, who refuses to say his catchphrase by grab Thar's hammer.
And then there's a moment in the movie when he says it,
and it's a fucking like you stand up out of your seat. Like it's an awesome moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like the
Spock.
Spock of the movie. Of that movie.
But like I don't know who's the Star Trek equivalent. No. Well, I guess he would still be Spock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget Spock came back to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not Spock, I am Spock.
Yeah. Yeah.
His two books.
I dug that movie a lot, man.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And
I kind of figured that you would have it. I was like, Brandon's got this one. I can talk about something else.
And I think it's a special feat for a comedy from the 90s to hold up so well and feel current now. Because that is not the case for 90% of the comedies of the 90s.
Yeah.
They just feel stale. Most of the ones that were huge comedies, your Dumb and Dumbers, There's Something About Mary's, like all those, they just don't, at least for me, they just don't hold up as well.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Boy still gets me. Like, it still makes me fucking laugh, dude.
Yeah, Tommy Boy is, like, maybe the last vestige of those 80s-style comedies. Because it comes from the same, you know, it's kind of a Saturday Night Live-ish comedy. Oh, but it has that same kind of attitude where they had a great story at the center of it.
By the way, Joe Dirt 2 is coming soon, so I'm excited.
Thank God.
I love Joe Dirt.
I do, too. I always think it's every single time I'm like, oh, that movie's so stupid, and then I watch it and I'm like, wait, I'm stupid. It's hilarious.
I'd rather have Joe Dirt 2 than another Deuce Bigelow movie.
That's true.
Yes.
Are they doing another Deuce Bigelow
movie? No one
wants
to hear from Rob Schneider anymore.
No, it's true.
David Spade is at least still funny.
Yeah.
And not an insane conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. My number three?
New buddy movie, Rob Schneider and Randy Quaid.
Oh,
we all saw that, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, how terrifying is Evie Quaid putting on that Rupert Murdoch mask?
Yeah.
That's a horror movie in itself.
Yeah.
And then he goes to fuck her. Like, in your mind, that is what's happening the second the video stops. And it is horrifying.
I kept thinking of Deliverance.
Squeal like a pig.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for Brian.
He should have cut to black and it's just sound.
Yeah. I just want Brian Posehn to do some sort of reenactment.
He's already made jokes about it. Yeah. It was like, haha, yes, everyone. I'm glad you enjoyed my Randy Quaid video.
My number three, right?
Yeah.
We're at three. My number three is Three Kings.
Yeah. I'm glad you had it on.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I'm conflicted about whether I'm gonna read.
Don't say anything.
I gotta reorder
it.
My
just
list.
Just do it.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's really good.
It's directed and co-written by David O. Russell, and this is his like third movie, right? He did Spanking the Monkey, Flirting with Disaster, and then this, I think, right?
That sounds right.
And this is the movie where George Clooney punched David Russell in the face, right? Yes.
It would be the movie that has George Clooney in it, directed by David O. Russell. I'll go ahead and say yes.
Yeah.
He punched David O. Russell in the face?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why? It's funny because David O. Russell has now like come out and like he said, hey, that was a terrible time in my life during this shoot. I mean, I guess I Heart Huckabee.
Like yeah, but that was less. And I Heart Huckabees was less so.
Yeah,
because everyone, there was that video that went around with like Lily Tomlin and them. But everyone that was involved would say that like, no, that was just we had a moment. Everyone's you know.
Yeah, but this one he was kind of known as a dick back then, and I guess he was pushing an extra around, and Clooney had warned him like, hey, don't push extras around, or I'm gonna hit
the crew.
Yeah,
right?
and he said, I'm gonna hit you, man. And he pushed one of the crew members, I think, the second time. And Clooney just went up to him and punched him in the face.
And then they all went back to work.
And I guess he never pushed another extra ever again. Well, not in front of Clooney.
he's like, go distract Clooney so I can push his extra around.
But this movie's so, so funny. I love Spike Jonze is in it.
Yeah, he's so good.
And every time I see him in a movie, he's so funny. He was funny in Wolf of Wall Street, even when he's not supposed to be funny in like Moneyball. I was still laughing my ass off. I'm like, Spike.
Well, I love him in the Jackass stuff.
Yeah. But in this movie, he plays like a redneck. And my favorite scene is when Clooney goes, "Hey, you guys want to go back to your day jobs?" And you see Ice Cube working at a convenience store, and you see Mark Wahlberg.
He's trying to refill the toner.
Yeah, he's refill the toner, and you see Spike Jonze, and he's just shooting a shotgun into like a car on blocks. But everyone's great in this. Everyone's amazing. Ice Cube, the story is, it's set during the Desert Storm, right?
Yes.
And Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube, and Spike Jonze, they get some information about where Saddam's gold is, and they go out and try to steal it. And it's funny, it's satirical, it's really good. Oh, Cliff Curtis is in this, I remember now. He's really good in this.
The beyond the soldiers,
main, yeah.
Like Judy Greer, Nora Dunn, what's his name? Jamie Kennedy?
Holt McCallany, he was in the boxing show. But anyway, it's filled with a amazing cast. And
is Michael T. Williamson in this?
I don't know.
Is he? Yeah, he's the colonel.
He's a colonel.
Like, comes to like arrest them, basically.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. But it's really really good, and I think it's one of Mark Wahlberg's like I think he works really good with David Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was amazing in The Fighter. So.
And on Hard Huckabees.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So.
And the first movie about Desert Storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strangely enough.
Yeah. And also it was co-written. It was the original draft of the movie was written by the guy who did 12 Years a Slave. John Ridley. And I think it was one of those movies where it had a lot of WGA like controversy because they didn't know how much like to credit his original script to David Russell's rewrite and stuff. But it's a really, really good movie.
Your classic Stallone gambit.
Yeah. Yeah. but Three Kings, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's really, really good. Probably, I'm going to go ahead and say it, Ice Cube's best.
Better than Friday?
As an acting movie, just straight up acting?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. He delivers like a solid performance in this.
He's so good in Higher Learning.
He is, yeah. He is good.
Boys in the Hood.
All right. Top three.
And I mean, Enemy, I got to put it out there. Ghost of Mars.
And XXX3? Triple X.
Triple X State of the Union.
Yeah, sorry. Jenny, what is your number three?
All right. So I also want to throw out that I didn't know David Russell and Annie Mamolo were working together on a script. That's cool.
Who's Annie Mamolo?
Yeah. How do you say her last name?
Mamolo? Yeah. Kristen Wiig's co-writer for Bridesmaids?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's the movie that's going to have Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence in it again.
Oh.
They just got to keep making movies together.
What's their couple name? If there were a couple. Coopla?
Bradlaw.
Well, it's Bradley and Jennifer, so instead of Bennifer, it'd be Brennifer?
Brannifer.
Bradifer.
Bradifer.
Bradifer?
Bradifer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bradifer.
Right. So my number three is Superstar.
Whoa.
With Molly Shannon?
Hold on.
That's that high?
That is a bold statement.
Okay,
that
was it wasn't on my list, but you put Galaxy Quest on, and that was on my list, so I had to take that down, and I obviously wasn't going to put... And Galaxy Quest was my number one, so I wasn't going to put this as my number one, and I already did 4 and 5, so I can't replace it, so I have to put it at 3. But it's one of my top. I just rewatched it 2 months ago, and it's still awesome. I still love it.
I haven't seen it.
That's crazy.
I saw it on HBO years ago. I think this is crazy. I think this is this is fifth grade for you, 1999.
Yeah.
This is right in your wheelhouose.
I loved it back then, and I still love it now.
That's so weird. So this was fifth grade for you, and this was ninth grade for me. I remember my drama department going to see this movie dressed in costumes.
Oh my god.
like in themed costumes. It was like whatever. It was like, oh, if you want to dress like a Catholic school person, or my best friend Nate dressed as a nun. Yeah, it was a weird evening. But yeah, it's a special movie. This was before I was on the Will Ferrell like movie bandwagon, because this was early on.
But you must have already been in the Will Ferrell bandwagon, because this is post Night at the Roxbury, and I liked Night at the Roxbury,
but I didn't like it as much. Like when I first, it was kind of an acquired taste. Like the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I liked it. But this was before like Anchorman.
Yeah.
It's also like, did you love these skits on Saturday Night Live?
The Mary Catherine Gallagher skits. They weren't my favorites.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, I loved them.
So what's the storyline for this movie?
A nerdy Catholic schoolgirl, Mary Catherine Gallagher, dreams of superstardom.
Okay. Pretty simple. Yeah. No, I didn't see this. I totally missed it. That's one of the ones that I missed. I missed this, and you know what? I still haven't seen Coneheads.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
There's one I rewatched recently and still really enjoyed it.
Coneheads is really funny. Yeah. It's got a great... It's not supporting cast, cameo cast.
Well,
there's so many people in that movie.
Yeah, it's everyone from Saturday Night Live between 1988 and 1990.
Well, I'm beyond Saturday. Like one of my favorite cameos is Sinbad.
Oh, that's right. When
Sinbad takes
the pawn shop. Yeah, owner.
He takes Beldar to meet with Adam Sandler to get his fake identity.
Yes,
that's one of the best scenes in the movie,
and it's got a great story too. It's really good. It's really, really sweet. Good.
Now, Superstar is before or after Ladies' Man?
Before.
Before. Okay. Ladies Man did not do it for me.
I think more of Superstar now that I remember that Ladies Man came out after it.
I love Superstar. I think the cast is great. I think it still makes me crack up the entire movie. I literally just watched it in October.
Refresh my memory. Does Will Ferrell, in addition to playing the kid, also play Jesus?
Yes.
Okay.
And he dances out to Spirit in the Sky, and he goes, "This song is about me." Did you know the song is about me?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
That's my favorite part of it.
And Harlan Williams is in it and doesn't speak until the very end, and everyone thinks it's because he's this badass who killed his family and doesn't talk, but really it's because he has a stutter and he has a birthmark that looks like shit.
It's weird that I remember that.
Oh, I like. Do you own this?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Your birthmark looks like shit. And then the dog that looks like absolute awfulness. That's like it's one of the. It looks like one of those cats that doesn't have fur, except it has like random long pieces of fur like near its ears and near its feet. And she's dancing because she loves to dance, and the TV falls on the dog. The tail's like wagging, and the dog gets up to the pearly gates, and Will Ferrell's Jesus, and he goes, "No, go back," because he's like a stoner Jesus, because he's like, "No, it's not your turn, man. Go back." And he goes, ruff, ruff, and he runs back, and then he comes back to life.
This totally should have been your number one. You're having so much fun recounting all of these moments from Superstar.
You inspired me to rewatch it.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
We need to trade. I'll trade you Stir of Echoes for Superstar.
Oh, I've never seen it.
And,
well, and after the fact, you can borrow it first.
The girl's name is Evian, and she's having a fight with her. And Mary Catherine Gallagher goes, "Go drink a body of yourself." Go drink a bottle of yourself, Evian.
I just want to hear you do the movie.
So funny.
What cameos does it have, like, besides Will Ferrell?
Well, Mark McKinney plays the father guy of the school.
I don't think Will Ferrell, he's not a cameo. He, like, his Jesus part, if he was just playing Jesus, would be a cameo. But he's one of the main characters, too. Yeah. He's, like, the hot guy at the school.
Okay.
And he does the fax machine.
Yeah. Oh, Tom Green's in it and plays an absolute dick.
Tom Green's
and that's
awesome.
Funny. Yeah, that's about, I mean, like, small things here and there, but yeah, that's pretty much, yeah. Right. So funny.
I gotta watch it. I missed it.
Yeah, we'll have to watch it. I haven't seen it.
We'll make
Mark
it
McKinney,
it.
Father Ritley, decides to use the toaster oven, and he's just trying to make the nuns happy because they bought him this toaster oven, but it burns his toast every single time, and so he feels like he has to eat this burnt toast, and it's like the most awkward scene where he's like trying to have a conversation with Mary, but he has to eat this black toast. It's like you can't bite into it, and he's like, so funny. He's like, "We really need to get
a new toaster." I really do just want to rewatch. I just want to watch you reenact the entire movie. Yeah. It's kind of the best.
Just go scene by scene and tell us the whole movie. That's your number three, because you had to replace Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
Adam, what is your number three?
All right, my number three is Cradle Will Rock.
Whoa! I didn't even know that movie came out.
I didn't expect that either, but I do love that movie.
I love that movie so. You don't understand.
Tim Robbins, right?
Directed Robbins directed it.
Yeah.
And it's about the Works Progress Administration's theater program. And this is really embarrassing to say, even 16 years later now, but I would watch this movie by myself and cry all the time.
Whoa.
When it's okay, another movie with a great cast. Okay, so it takes place during the 1930s, and they're like in the middle of the Works Progress Administration, which, if you don't know about that, you should probably go back to like sophomore year history. Where basically
belittle them while you're educating. That's
I'm not belittling. No, I'm just go back to your notes if you still have them from sophomore year history, where it's FDR's Work Progress Administration, and like they're basically paying actors and artists and musicians to work, and so there's government supported theater, but there's also, it's in the middle of a communist scare, and it's jumping all over the place between. John D. Rockefeller, played by John Cusack, who's like trying to get, what's his name?
Diego Rivera.
Diego Rivera, Mr. Frida Kahlo, to do a mural for him.
Yeah.
And
he paints Stalin, doesn't he? Or what
he does. He paints a full-on Soviet communist revolution in the middle of Rockefeller Center, I want to say.
That part is really funny.
The whole thing is great. And then you've got this play what they're trying to put on, which is also about like the workers uniting.
Yeah.
Directed by Orson Welles.
Played by Angus McFadden so well. Produced, and like the producer of the play is Cary Elwes.
Yeah.
And the writer is Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
And then you've also got vaudevillians who are forced to go and check in with their WPA social workers. And
like Jack Black, no?
Well, he and Kyle Gass are apprenticing with Bill Murray as ventriloquists. And Bill Murray keeps having to check in with Joan Cusack, who is his WPA social worker.
Yeah.
Who's like checking to see that he's working regularly.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the main storylines. But like within the story of the play, you've got John Turturro, who's playing like the lead actor, and he's an Italian, and his family's talking about the black shirts all the time. And like he comes home and they've made his kids start singing the anthem of the black shirts. And there's a lot going on in this movie where it's like, it just keeps making you feel like you need to go back and reread your notes from history class.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to belittle people. Even I'm like, wait, what's going on here? Where you have to stop and think about it. But I would watch it so much because it's so emotionally involved.
Yeah.
Like all of these artists' lives and the way the governments and other governments are affecting their lives. It's really good. And when they finally get to put on their play, basically they're told that they're not allowed to put on their play. And if they do, they'll lose their funding. And they find a theater that will let them put on their play. And it's really great.
It's also written by Tim Robbins.
Yeah,
right?
written and directed. And he's like the... Because it's the 30s, so there's got like the classic 30s announcer.
Yeah.
And he's the 30s announcer. Like all the announcers are him. And what's her name? She's so good. And she makes me cry a lot in this movie. She's the main...
Sherry
James? Emily Watson. Emily Watson, she sings like the saddest song. I have the soundtrack for the movie too. she's playing the prostitute who thinks that she feels a nickel under her foot, and then it turns out it's not there. Like she just imagined it. It's a devastating movie, but I love it so much.
It's a really good movie. I did not expect that to come out on the list.
So good.
I remember the reason I saw this movie, and like the trailer didn't grab me. But I remember thinking, like, oh, I fucking loved Dead Man Walking. And Tim Robbins had directed that. So I'm like, I got to check out him directing this one.
Yeah, I feel like it's a movie that not a lot of people know about. But I wore this VHS tape out.
He's a good director.
He's really good.
Yeah, yeah. I wish he would direct more stuff. He did an episode of Tremé, I think. But yeah. He's
got his theater in Culver City.
Does he?
Yeah.
He also did an episode of SNL, I think, one year, like in the 80s, I think he did an episode. Yeah, that's your number
three.
What do you got for your number two?
My number two
is
1999's The Iron Giant.
Another movie I knew you would have on your list. So yeah. Brandon's got that covered.
Also, maybe in my top 10 of all time.
Wow.
Really?
Never doesn't make me cry.
Yeah.
Never.
This is the crying section. Oh, wait, no, we moved on, but this is still, it was a good overlap.
Yeah. Good transition. About a boy who befriends a robot who falls to Earth, an alien robot. And written and directed by Brad Bird, painfully mismarketed when it came out. Yeah. So it was not a hit, like, at all. Yeah. I was alone in the theater when I saw it. In the same theater that a guy would later shoot up during a screening of The Dark Knight Rises.
Shit. Awkward.
But you didn't know that. You didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
At the time.
Yeah.
14 years earlier.
Yeah. Thank God.
But no, it's so good. Voice cast. I don't know who's the kid. I think he's unknown, but Harry Connick Jr. is in it. Jennifer Aniston. The design is beautiful.
Yeah.
The 50s. You know, feel of it is gorgeous. The design of the Iron Giant and Vin Diesel as the voice of the Iron Giant.
Groot. Yeah. It's very like Art Deco-y. The robot.
Yeah. But God damn it, it's so good. If you haven't seen it, I can't imagine you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
If you have kids, I know you've seen it.
I think the kid who plays Hogarth plays Stifler's younger brother.
Are you serious?
In American Pie 2. Eli something. Eli Marienthal, yep. Eli Marienthal.
Wow.
Stifler's brother.
American Pie 2. Yeah. Like you said, Cary Connick Jr. Christopher McDonald is in this.
Cloris, he plays the CIA agent.
Cloris,
the guy from the government.
Leachman. John Mahoney. E. Emmett Walsh. M. Emmett Walsh, sorry. yeah, this is a good movie.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And it builds up to the final sequence when, like, the Iron Giant becomes a weapon.
Yeah.
Like, when it turns into a weapon when threatened, is unreal.
Yeah.
God, it's so good. I want that Mondo
toy,
like, replica toy so bad.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
But the part, you know, Superman, gets every time.
Yeah. You gotta see it. If you haven't seen, watch it.
It's really good.
Yeah. It's so good.
It was one of those things where I'm like, I'm glad that I knew I didn't have to put it on my list. I'm like, I knew you were going to talk about it. So I was like, yeah, it's going to get talked about, so it's good.
Yeah. There's a movie this year, Big Hero 6, that I enjoyed. I liked it a lot. Yeah. It was fun. But everything I liked about it, I think the Iron Giant did a lot better.
Yeah, it's like Iron Giant light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah. Iron Giant light.
I dig all the, like, animation stuff, Brad Bird has done, but
beautiful hand drawn animation.
But I'm digging more his live action directing. I think he's a good director.
Well, he's a really good director.
I think I'm loving I hope he stays with the live action stuff.
The two animated movies he's done have been two of the greatest animated movies ever made.
Yeah.
Wait, hasn't he done three?
Well, Ratatouille,
Incredibles.
Oh, Incredibles. What the fuck am I talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, three of the greatest ever made.
Yeah. He did Ratatouille.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Politically odd if you analyze them, but
yeah,
they still are amazing.
Yeah. But he's made the best Fantastic Four movie. The Incredibles is like awesome. Like, that's no need to do another Fantastic Four movie. We've seen it.
Also, tweet at WB Home Entertainment, because every time anyone asks him if there's going to be a great Blu-ray of Iron Giant, he's like, I don't know. They just want to release like a bare bones like version, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So tweet at WB Home Entertainment. It's at WB Home ENT. And tell them you want a deluxe Blu-ray of The Iron Giant.
Maybe that turns into The Iron Giant box.
I hate those.
Because they don't fit in your Blu-ray shelf.
Yeah, the collector's edition things. That's always like a shitty bust of a character. And it's usually like a side character from the movie.
Yeah.
No bueno.
No. Or they should give you that way you could display, but actually the DVD inside.
But it doesn't hold the DVD.
Yeah, like you could take the DVD out and put it on your shelf, and then display the head or whatever.
But you need a normal size case for the DVD.
Yeah, well the DVD case should be come inside of that thing.
Then the thing has to be
huge. Look, I don't want to get into the semantics of home entertainment.
I'm just saying that would be a giant bust.
All right, my number two is Magnolia. I love Magnolia. I love P.T. Anderson. This is his
third
movie.
Yes, after Boogie Nights.
Yes,
after Heartache.
Heartache, Boogie Nights, and then Magnolia. I love this movie. I even at the end where it gets crazy. Jenny, have you seen Magnolia?
No.
Okay. I won't. Not many spoilers should be discussed, because we also want to do this as a director's cut episode.
Yeah, I'm excited because I haven't seen it since 1999, and I honestly don't remember anything.
I think this is the most like Altman-esque of his movies. You know, it's got all these different storylines. It's kind of reminds me of what is it called? Shortcuts.
Shortcuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I fucking love this movie. I love Tom Cruise's character. He's such a dick. I like when I hate an actor I like, because it means they've done such a good job. Like, I hated Matt Damon for the longest time because of The Departed. But just because he did a good job playing an asshole, you know? And I hated him. Like,
the betrayal.
Yeah, the betrayal, that bastard.
How could he do that to President Bartlett?
I know, dude. That asshole. But I didn't like Tom Cruise for a while. Frank T.J. Mackey. But everyone, it's just filled with, like, amazing actors. This is Jason Robards' last film, and it's an amazing performance. I just heard P.T. Anderson on Mark Maron's podcast, and he talked about how like he, Jason Robards was like on his last breath, and he, you know, he had
he's actually on oxygen.
Yeah, and he's like, he came in and fucking delivered that long ass monologue, and just, you know, he's awesome acting. And then Julianne Moore, Philip Seymour Hoffman, William H. Macy, John T. Reilly, Philip Baker Hall, Alfred Molina, Ricky Jay, Luis Guzman. Yeah, dude. Just a good movie.
Another amazing soundtrack from 1999 also. Yeah. Amy Mann.
Yeah.
I preferred the soundtrack to the movie.
I know. I know you don't like Magnolia.
Yeah. We have to watch it again.
It's a really good soundtrack.
It is a really good soundtrack.
But yeah. That's all I'll say. That's my number two. I love that movie. Jenny?
All right. So, my number two. Sorry, it closed accidentally.
Oh, and in rewatching Magnolia, I discovered that the guy, a short comedian, he plays Ratatouille, his voice.
Patton Oswalt.
He's in the beginning of Magnolia. Oh.
There's a bunch of comedians. Yeah. Paul Tompkins is in it.
Yeah, because this was when he was basically mining the Largo. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Annie Mann does the music. He was just hanging out with the Largo all the time.
All right. So my number two is Notting Hill.
I'm glad someone else has it on their list.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Notting Hill.
Oh,
it was on pay-per-view all the time. I watched it so much and I felt really bad about it for some reason. Because I guess because I was a dude and I was like...
Watching a lady
16.
Thing?
No, well, because I'm a 16-year-old dude... 15-year-old, 16-year-old, around that era, watching Notting Hill a lot and just really enjoying it.
Well, it's hilarious.
It's really
funny. It's really funny.
Reese Ifans steals every scene he's in.
Every scene.
But Hugh Grant's really likable.
Yeah, he says oopsie daisies and it's hilarious.
this was 99? So was Mickey Blue Eyes.
Yeah. I chose this one.
I think this is the better. This is the better of Hugh Grant.
Yeah. I love Mickey Blue Eyes, dude.
Forget about it. I saw that
on an international flight, and I still really didn't like it.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant. That's great.
It's great Alec Baldwin cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Give me some water that's really, really cold.
Tell us, what's the synopsis?
The life of a simple bookshop owner changes when he meets the most famous film star in the world. Yeah, she comes into his bookshop when she's filming in London or wherever he lives. Where's Notting Hill?
London.
Is London? Okay. Yeah. And they meet and then they decide to go on a date. And then he like kind of ruins it because he thinks she's like too good for him.
Yeah.
And yeah, then she's like, no, I really love you.
Yeah.
Spoilers. I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her.
And she's basically playing herself, right?
Yeah. Like he goes to the set to go visit her and stuff. And
doesn't he overhear something? Like they give him like headphones?
Yeah. And, like, yeah, that's why he like walks away and leaves.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I don't know, he's just some guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, that hurt my feelings. Mm. I'm just some guy.
I dug this movie. But I'm telling you, I've seen Mickey Blue Eyes more than I've seen this movie.
I've seen this way more times. Mickey Blue Eyes. I've seen Notting Hill way more times than Mickey Blue Eyes.
I love Notting Hill.
Yeah. All right.
This was during his... I mean, I guess he's kind of still in, his romantic comedy, but this was like his like big... I think this was after his...
This was after his scandal.
His scandal, and so, he was trying to get back in good graces with women, I guess. And Adam.
He's really good in this movie. He's very likable.
He's good in everything.
He's very likable.
Yes, he is. He's great in everything.
What was his scandal again?
Where he picked up the tranny or the transsexual.
I get him and Robert Downey Jr. mixed up all
Robert
the time.
Robert Downey Jr. woke up in someone else's house, but this is where he was caught picking up a transsexual hooker. Like on Sunset.
While he was married to Elizabeth Hurley, right?
While he was married to Elizabeth Hurley. Oh, wow. And he like came on, I don't remember, I want to say Leno or something to apologize about it.
Well, it was famously Leno was always behind Letterman after Leno took over for Carson until Hugh Grant came on. And from that point on, The Tonight Show was number one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So yeah,
Hugh Grant was on which show?
The
Tonight Show with Jay Leno. After Leno took over for Carson, in the ratings,
he was always behind.
Leno was always behind Letterman.
But then Hugh Grant went on that one, and then that put him over.
Yep.
Got it.
From that point on, he was always number one.
Huh.
That was the first
that
time.
That was after
that was
his
the
scandal?
First time he beat Letterman. Yes, was after the scandal coming on.
Oh,
lineup.
Interesting.
That's crazy.
People love scandals.
Yeah. That's,
and
they
the
love
show,
them and
scandal.
Hate them.
Show, they love the show scandal.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what Savannah's watching right now.
Scandal.
They're like, people love scandals so much.
They
let's
need
just fucking
show.
Do a show.
Yeah. Called
just
Scandal.
Call it Scandal.
Yeah.
Everyone's always trying to obfuscate the scandals.
Yeah. Just there's no pussyfooting around it. No. Let's just do Scandal.
Yeah. Scandal the show. Coming in Fox. Or what is it on?
What's,
I think it's on ABC.
What's the craziest people to have scandals?
Yeah.
I don't know. The president's family?
Yeah.
Do
fine.
It.
That's it.
Do it.
That's the kicker.
Yeah. All right. That's your number two?
Yep. Do I need to defend that one too, guys?
Nope.
Jeez.
I just told you how much I love that movie.
I'm just kidding.
Forget about it.
You can't be that you can't be that angry after going through half of Superstar.
I know. It's a great movie. It's a great movie. I'm going to go watch it when I go
home. I was thinking about the t-shirt scenes where he's asking which t-shirt he should wear, and he wears like the one with the alien bursting out, and then he comes out with the one that on the front it says, "You're the most beautiful woman in the world," and then on the back it says, "Fancy a shag."
Yeah. He's so funny.
What was he eating? Like he was eating something and he thought it was
mayonnaise. Like, this yogurt, there's something wrong with this yogurt. It's like, that's because it's mayonnaise.
Oh, wait, right.
That's it.
Yeah. Just eating it.
All right. What is your number two?
My number two is Man on the Moon.
Oh.
You went, man, well, I was not expecting any of these choices.
Milos.
Milos Forman.
Yeah.
And,
it's a good movie.
Mr. James Carey.
Yeah.
But apparently on set you were only allowed to refer to him as Andy.
Was this before Eternal Sunshine?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
This was his first like serious part.
After Truman Show.
After Truman Show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was his first serious.
Yeah.
I doubt people were calling him Truman on the set of the Truman Show.
Mr. Truman.
Yeah.
No, this was a good movie. I like this movie a lot.
Say what you will about Jim Carrey, like regardless of all that, like he does a really good job of just bringing Andy Kaufman back to life.
Say what you will about Courtney Love.
Yes, I was going to say that.
She's really good in this.
She's great in it. Yeah.
This and The People versus Larry Flynt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito is great.
Yeah.
I love all the stuff when they're on the set of Taxi.
Which is weird because he's not playing.
He's not playing himself. DeVito. Yeah, yeah. That's like I was like waiting to see like are they gonna have some weird like extra in the back who looks kind of like Danny DeVito playing the Danny DeVito part because they had
Michael Richards playing himself, right?
They had Michael Richards playing himself in that Fridays scene, but they also had
Mary Lou Henner
and Christopher Lloyd as themselves on the set of Taxi.
Mary Lou Henner looked exactly the same.
So did Christopher Lloyd. It was weird. They had really good makeup people.
Yeah. Christopher Lloyd still looks like Doc Brown in Back to the Future from the 80s. Like, he still looks like...
Yeah, well, now he's looking old. Like,
he's looking like Doc Brown from Part 3.
Yeah. But Mary Lou Henner probably remembered exactly what she was wearing on that day.
Well, yeah. That, which, because she's photographic memory.
Got that condition. It's more than that. It's a
perfect
condition.
Yeah. Where she can remember everything.
You can say November 3rd, 1987. Well, I don't know. I woke up, I had frosted flakes, but not as much as I usually had because I was full from the night before when I had like that level of detail.
Yeah. But this movie's great. I like it. I love it.
Paul Giamatti as Bob Zmuda.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That scene where they do, where you discover that they would switch off playing Tony Clifton.
Yeah.
It was good.
Great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. This is like another movie that made me cry.
Yeah. Did Jerry Lawler play himself?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, right. Damn, this is such a good movie. The part where he takes everybody to eat chocolate chip cookies and milk.
Yes. Well, I love this where he's explaining to Vincent, what's his name? He died. He was in everything. He was in Death of Smoochie and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, Vincent.
Vincent Schiavelli.
Schiavelli.
Yeah. He plays like the executive for CBS or whatever, and he's trying to get him to let him mess with the verticals during his TV special.
Yeah.
It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
So much fun. Really interesting look at Andy Kaufman. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, do you know who wrote this movie?
Scott Alexander and
Larry Karaszewski?
Yes.
I think they did Ed Wood. Yeah.
And Big Eyes this year.
Yeah. Good writers.
Another great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good soundtrack.
I would just drive around listening to REM and the theme from Taxi over and over again.
I It's one of those movies where I didn't like watching it a lot because it was sad. But then, like, recently I rewatched it. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's such a good movie.
It's really good. And, it's like, it gets to a point where it's like you would just kind of want to stop watching just because of what happened to him.
Yeah.
But, like, up until that point, like, just the fun of it.
I still dig that. I think he'd get a laugh that people still think he's still alive. You know? Yeah. Like, that would be, like, that's awesome. Like, it's still an ongoing thing. Like, didn't, like...
Just recently, they
somebody
were saying,
came out and said that, no, he's alive, and I think that's funny.
Yeah, that's been happening every 5 years since, since he died.
Him and Tupac are probably hanging out together. What is your recap in your number one?
Oh, recap. Damn, number five. What was my number five? Rushmore. Blair Witch Project. Galaxy Quest. Iron Giant. And then, I think you and I have the same number one.
Which is...
The one that blew up everything.
Which is?
The Matrix.
No, that's not
no?
the one.
No,
not at all.
Oh, I thought that's what we were talking about.
No.
Earlier when we were talking about things that started trends and origins.
No.
Anyway, yeah, my number one for Matrix. 1999 is The Matrix.
It's a good movie.
Nice, yeah. It is great.
Definitely, like, after that movie, everyone had bullet time. And a bullet time sequence in their fucking movies.
Bullet time and the leather trench coats came back.
Yeah.
And...
That's when we were talking about it. The Fight Club thing.
Yeah.
This. Oh, yeah. If this is your favorite movie of all time, there's something wrong with you.
There's a problem.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
But it's... I still remember... I didn't know... excuse me. I was joking up. I didn't know what the hell to expect. Yeah. I remember the trailers were always super vague. Like, you never really knew what was happening.
See, this is the other movie that I was talking about during Fight Club where I just completely... This movie came out, this was a thing, never saw a trailer,
really
didn't see it until the next year when I watched it at someone else's house. On I was like, wait, what the fuck is this awesome movie that I have to go home and finish watching right now?
I remember, like, halfway through I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm seeing.
Yeah,
but it is changing my life. It's everything about it.
I think I've told this story before where I got a screening pass to, like, audience screening. And it was, like, before any of the trailers were out. So I hadn't seen anything about it. And I went in, and that, when that first scene goes into bullet time, when Trinity, like, jumps.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? And I, like, looked around. Like, everyone's like, what's going on? Like, what are these people doing?
They broke something. Yeah. The movie broke.
Yeah. What is this? Sound?
I mean, like, the choreography was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, this is when, you know, they were the first successful people to bring in... you know, martial arts choreography, like, into an American style, action sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
And this is, like, similarly to a lot of things in 1999, this is the origin of so many terrible copycats.
Yeah, like, they so just, like, it, you Pulp said Fiction it's in the 94, best, it was like, the best for US, it's still pretty much is the best use of kung fu in an Americanized movie, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best version of it, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know,
people can't get it right.
No. Well, they're not, you know, they're not them, but it's,
yeah,
like, so just because there are so many influences coming at so many different angles.
Yeah.
That it, and it, oh, Jesus, I keep doing that. It coalesced into an amazing thing.
Yeah.
That changed everything.
Yeah.
It's also their best movie.
Yeah. Oh, hands down.
Without a doubt.
All bound.
Yeah, no. They have one really good movie.
Yeah,
and we disagree heavily on
on
those other movies, but this is by far their best movie.
Yeah.
The philosophy of it, everything.
They don't try to over-explain it in this one. They just let it be what it is. Where, like, it's supposed to be mysterious. They're not trying to explain it. You're like, it's supposed to be a mystery. Whereas as the series moves on, they're trying to explain it more. It's like, stop explaining more.
Yeah,
you're making it worse.
Yeah, I would defend some of that. Like, Reloaded, I still like. The Revolutions, there's a lot to not like at all.
Yeah, I think
they want to do three more, don't they? They keep talking about it? I keep hearing about it.
They did the...
I don't think this latest one's going to help them make three more.
Well, and they're successful.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
I haven't seen it yet.
I've seen.
Well,
I don't think it's going to help.
We disagree on all the other movies they made that I like.
But it's got to get good ratings.
I could love
for it
this.
To make
you could,
three, right?
But that doesn't mean that it's going to get them money to make three more Matrix movies.
No, but not as they've made other movies that have cost a lot of money and not made money, and they still get money. to make movies.
I think they're still they've made so much money with those Matrix movies. They made so much money.
God, they're probably still making so much still, money. Yeah, off
that,
of Matrix
that
movies.
They're true. Still they're yeah. still like, hey, we still owe you for those movies. Yeah. Sorry, but and the thing
they can wait for like 2 years of Matrix income.
Yeah,
to go just, back and yeah, be and like
another one movie.
You guys have made another $100 million off of Matrix.
Yeah, it's true. Like the deal they got off of the deal they got on the Matrix period. I remember they said on the Matrix, I think they did a little bit of press, but after the Matrix, they said their contract had been like no one had seen before. Like they got mostly all points. They said we'll forgo our director fee and we'll just get all points. So both of them got a ton of money. So did Keanu Reeves. He's
yeah.
All his fortune is all Matrix fortune.
And this he funneled a lot of his money back to the stunt team Matrix, which is amazing.
He gave it back
to
him. God
damn it, I love Keanu Reeves.
And also, another thing, the clause they put in their contract was that they didn't want to do any press. And they never got to do, they never had to go do any talk shows.
Which just fueled it because, like, the movie is super philosophical and a lot of thought is put into it. So then having the writers and directors never talking about it just heightens all of that.
Yeah.
Another amazing soundtrack, by the way.
Yeah. Machine at the end. All right. My recap and my number one. Number five was The Insider. Four, Fight Club. Three Kings. Ooh. Two, Magnolia. And my number one.
You're very impressed with yourself.
I am. I didn't notice that till right now. My number one is a movie that kind of like just blew my mind. And
is this the foreign movie?
No. I had to take it out.
You made me feel subconscious about it.
Had to take it out.
Well, it was a tie for my number five, the foreign movie. And it was All About My Mother, the Pedro Almodovar movie.
Okay.
But my number one is Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Kind of just blew me away. Yeah. I was like, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Another one that is totally different than anything else the 90s produced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I still think a lot of people haven't seen this movie. Like a lot of young people, and it's still when they're like, is it a documentary? John Malkovich? No. It's a really cool movie.
Yeah, no, that was the conversation I remember having about this movie.
It was so hard to explain.
All right, well, what's it about? Well, there's the 13th and a half floor of that's really short, and inside it, there's a portal into John Malkovich's head.
Well, there's a puppeteer who goes, who finds this portal to, it's better to just go, it's a narrative. It's not a documentary. Just go see it. Like it's hard to explain, but it's amazing storytelling. It's nothing like I'd ever seen before. And just some of the themes they're talking about and some of the just great acting. Catherine Keener's amazing. Probably Cameron Diaz's best performance.
Probably.
Charlie's Angels. Full Throttle,
yeah,
not the first,
and all the cameos. There's a Sean Penn cameo and
Charlie Sheen.
Oh, that's right, as he goes to Charlie for advice.
Yeah.
Malkovich.
Yeah. Have you seen the making of?
Yeah. Well, this is another one where because this is when DVDs are finally taking like a foothold on the home video market. So
The Matrix was my first DVD I ever bought.
Yeah. So they were putting them out with a ton of special features on them. Like, because
You could fit all the information in that little disc.
Yeah, like a laser disc. Like they would just have a whole bunch of shit on it. So like Being John Malkovich had a ton of stuff on it.
My favorite thing is when they're doing the Malkovich restaurant scene and he yells at all the crew. He's like, guys, the masks are really hot. So let's try to get this all in one take. He's really concerned with all the extras. But it's such a great mind-bending movie. And then when you see adaptation and you see like the stuff, because there's John Malkovich stuff in adaptation, it's just even creepier because you're like, oh man, this is like a movie within a movie within a movie. That is my number one. Jenny, what do you got?
All right. So my number five was Drop Dead Gorgeous, four, Election, three, Superstar, two, Notting Hill. And my number one is 10 Things I Hate About You.
Nice. I'm glad you put it on there.
Yeah.
It's so very that's me.
Two Alice and Janney movies?
Yeah. Yeah. Cat. Meow.
I remember, I don't like musicals. It's known. But I like the musical number in this with Heath Ledger. I love it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I like I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Eddie Krumholtz. They're
David?
David Krumholtz. Is there an Eddie Krumholtz?
I don't know.
Maybe cousin. David Krumholtz is, they're like an amazing team.
It's a really great cast.
Yeah.
It is. It's really great.
Larissa Olenek, who I had a crush on since Alex Mack.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, not a crush, but yeah.
You're like, oh, me too.
Me too.
Who does she play?
She's the love interest.
The younger
sister.
Sister.
Yeah. What happened to her? She was on...
She was on something new recently.
She was. I saw her on something. What was it?
She was on Third Rock for a while.
That's right. As Joseph Gordon-Levitt's girlfriend.
Yeah. I wonder if they did it.
I didn't really watch this, yeah. But she was on that new show, Extant.
Extant?
Extant?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't watch it, but...
She had like a walking on something I saw, but yeah.
Yeah.
Because every time she pops up, I'm like, oh, there's only...
I know.
This was kind of... This was.
Oh, Mad Men.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes.
She's at that party. She's in like one scene on an episode of Mad Men.
No, she's in four episodes.
Oh, she plays someone's wife.
But she's
wife.
Like, yeah. Ooh. Yes, she's someone's wife.
She's in Jezebel, which Robert Ben-Gurion wrote on his own without Thomas Lennon.
But.
Yeah, and it's got Julia Stiles.
Yeah.
This was very much her like
breakout role.
Era.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like this and then Save the Last Dance.
Yeah.
Saw that twice in theaters.
Was this?
I did theater for...
I went on two dates to Save the Last Dance.
I did
with
lights.
With different girls?
I did lights for dance shows.
Giggity,
I saw it so many times.
Oh, yeah. I love Julia Stiles.
That and Center Stage.
Didn't Save the Last Dance get you laid?
What?
Did Save the Last Dance?
No.
Get you to second base?
No.
Did we talk about?
No. What you should be asking is what prevented you?
Larry Miller.
Larry Miller.
Okay, and Daryl Mitchell, who was also in Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who's Daryl Mitchell?
The black guy.
I know you think it would, but that doesn't help.
In Galaxy Quest, there's only one black guy. He drives the ship.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And in 10 Things I Hate About You, in 10 Things I Hate About You,
he's the teacher.
He's the English teacher.
Oh, okay.
I remember I hated the
kid. I can't picture him.
Remember the kid that draws a dick on David Krumholtz's face? I used to hate that guy.
What's his name?
Oh, yes.
Joey Donner?
He played
Joey Donner. But his name's like Andrew
Andrew
Keegan.
Yeah. Yes. What was he on that girls all liked him about? I don't remember what show he was on.
Wasn't he on a TV show?
He was on some TV show.
He was also
in
Seventh Heaven. I think he was on Seventh Heaven.
I don't remember that. I don't know. I just remember girls my age all loved
him. I loved
him.
I had a lot of... this was like my boy phase. And so I had lots of pictures and boys in wet t-shirts and on my computer.
Heath Ledger too?
Yeah.
I used to always get that guy confused with the kid who played the Green Ranger on Power Rangers.
Yeah, he kind of has that look.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Andrew Keegan. What was he on?
Gabrielle Union is in?
Yes.
Gabby Union.
It's really a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love it. It's all great. Everything about it. I could watch it over. I also own this movie.
And it's based off of
another good soundtrack.
Taming of the Shrew. Yeah,
Shrew.
Yeah. It's such a good movie. It
Krumholtz is really, he steals a lot of the scenes that he's in. He really steals.
All the movies that I've seen him in, he's one guy who doesn't. Never got his big break. I mean, I know he's on Numbers and stuff, but I mean, like, he never became, I think, the comedic, like, star that I thought. I fucking always
loved
him.
He's just really good.
Yeah.
And I guess underrated.
Yeah. Remember he was supposed to be the cop. He was supposed to be Seth Rogen's part in Superbad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But he dropped out because he got the lead in a Woody Allen movie, and then the funding dropped. Woody Allen never made that movie.
That sucks.
Yeah. And they make fun of him on the commentary because it's super bad.
That's true.
Because he's in it, but he only has a cameo in it.
He's really good. He's really funny. I love him in Slums of Beverly Hills.
He steals every scene he's in.
Life with Mikey.
Yeah.
I remember from Life with Mikey.
He's the kid from Life with Mikey.
Oh, yeah.
Serial King.
Yeah.
And I used to always get him confused with the kid who was Doogie Howser's friend.
Oh, yeah.
I got these two confused constantly. Yeah. I still can't tell you who the name of the kid on Doogie Howser was.
Max Casella?
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember I wasn't a fan of Julie Stiles back then. I was like, oh, I definitely like her younger sister better. But yeah, everyone was great. I like I said, that musical number. The musical number. We're the same age.
Younger sister?
I was the age of the younger sister.
Who's the younger sister?
Larissa.
Larissa.
No. Oh,
and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I thought you were saying Julia Stiles is younger sister.
No. And yeah, I remember that musical number was pretty fun because it was a good song.
Yeah, it's all great.
Adam,
the whole poem at the end is great too. Yeah,
he
love
read
it all.
Why does she get mad at the end? And he has to show up alone, and she shows up alone to the prom. Do you remember?
Because she finds out about
there was a misunderstanding, right?
She finds out about
the
bet.
Yeah,
that's right.
But he actually
the reason that he's being paid.
The agreement.
Yes.
Agreement.
Yes.
Yeah. But at the end, he had fallen in love with her,
and she had fallen in love with him.
Oh, and they lived happy ever after.
R.I.P.
Okay, so my number 5 was Stir of Echoes, number 4 was Payback, number 3 was Cradle Will Rock, number 2 was Man on the Moon, and my number 1 should come as no surprise, Dogma.
I knew it.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Yes.
Okay, so I rewatched this movie. I think I've been talking about it, how my friend, my Jeff, he comes over Sundays. My Jeff. He comes over Sundays, and I'll usually like put on a movie that he hasn't seen, but like that, you know, that is like, I think it was influential to me or something. Mm-hmm. And we watched Dogma maybe like a couple months ago. It didn't hold up, man.
I still love it.
It doesn't hold up.
I haven't rewatched it in a while.
I feel like the Kevin Smith just blasts through at this point.
Yeah, in Dogma. It does. I could still stand Clerks because he's not in it too much.
Well, it's also before he keeps repeating the things he repeats all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love like what he's trying to say in it. Mm-hmm. I wish, you know, originally Robert Rodriguez was supposed to direct this movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's in the commentary.
I don't wish that he directed this.
I do, because it would have been...
Rodriguez of 1999?
Yeah, Desperado.
That would be fine.
Yeah. And he said he read the script and he was going to do it, but he said, I think this is too personal. I think you should do it. And because they were all in the same, like, Miramax family.
Right.
That's the thing. But I do still dig the Matt Damon, Ben Affleck stuff.
I think they're really great together. Yeah. I love the Chris Rock stuff.
Yeah,
Chris Rock's great in it.
There's still great
stuff
in it.
The Kevin Smith. Yeah. Kevin Smith is not my favorite part of the movie. Like, I think he got... I think this is one of his, like... Lesser, not in the sense that it's a lesser movie, because I think it's one of his better movies, but lesser in the sense where his personal presence is less prevalent.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird thing, but I still love it. This was the first Kevin Smith movie I saw in theaters.
Oh.
I don't know. Affleck and Damon are great.
Yeah. Jason Lee is great.
George Carlin.
Yeah.
I do... wish that he had got Janine Garofalo to play the Linda Fiorentino part.
The lead?
Yeah.
Instead. Yeah. Man.
Persephone?
There's it? One. What happened to Linda Fiorentino?
She's apparently really difficult to work with.
Yeah. That's what.
Yeah, but she would have popped up like somewhere in something. She was huge. After The Last Seduction?
Oh, yeah, the Alan Rickman part.
Alan Rickman?
Oh, Alan Rickman was good?
Yeah. So good.
When he jumps, he's like, look.
Yeah.
Maybe
I should rewatch
any junk.
Because I did love it in 1999.
Yeah. Like I said, it just doesn't hold up as a whole. Like it. I don't think if somebody was watching for the first time, I don't think they'd be like, oh, it's good. You know, I think the parts I enjoy are the parts that I always enjoy, the Ben Affleck parts. There's a lot of great moments in this, but it doesn't hold up. Just the style of the directing.
I think I'm the only person that likes Alanis Morissette as God.
I love that. Yeah.
I feel like no one liked that part, but I love that part.
But Court.
Great.
But Court.
As God also. Yeah. There's some cool stuff in it. But Chris Rock was really good in this. I didn't like Salma Hayek in this.
I thought she was fine.
Okay. If you're in a Kevin Smith movie and you have an accent, it's difficult. It's dialogue heavy, so your accent, it's an impediment.
Yeah, that's true.
She's I love her, but Selma Hayek delivering really wordy dialogue is, I think that is definitely one of the low points of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I dig it. Any honorable mentions you guys want to throw up before we go?
Well, yeah.
Oh, before we go, there was a great meme going around when The Dark Knight came out, and it said that moment you realize the Joker and Robin went to high school together.
Yeah.
And it was scenes from 10th Thing.
Yeah.
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 It's pretty funny. I just laughed my ass off. But
I mean, Office Space.
Yes.
Office Space. South Park.
South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. I know you hate it, Ricardo, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Another like dual thing was, but it's actually really good, is The 13th Floor. Did you ever see it? Like, it got burned.
Gretchen Mol?
Yeah, Gretchen Mol and
I don't remember.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Craig Bierko.
Yeah,
yeah, it got burned because everyone's like, no, it looks like The Matrix because it's about like an alternate reality. Yeah, alternate like in a reality.
Don't tell me about it. I want to see it.
It's really good. Yeah, yeah, it's like it's a noir like mystery like inside a computer. It's fantastic.
Another Matrix-y thing, Existenz.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jude Law. Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
Oh, was that 1999?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely the released here in 1999. Yeah. God damn it, Princess Mononoke is amazing.
Mystery Men?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love Mystery Men.
Bowfinger.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
Yeah, that, and I recently rewatched it. Totally holds up for me. I loved it at the time, and I love it now.
I think we both have been talking about this, but...
Probably
the best stuff, now that we think about it, is probably Matthew Vaughn's.
Oh yeah, influence. For sure. Oh,
like
yeah.
Now that you see Matthew Vaughn's style, you're like, oh, maybe all the guy early Guy Ritchie stuff is all
yeah.
Matthew Vaughn.
All the stuff that's fun in Matthew Vaughn movies, yeah. You see it in Snatch and Lock, yeah. Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Yeah,
and you're like, maybe Guy Ritchie, maybe we got Guy Ritchie all wrong.
Dick.
Oh, with Kirsten Dunst?
Kirsten
yeah,
Dunst.
And
I haven't watched that since 1999.
Who was the girl? Michelle?
Michelle Williams.
Williams,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow, that's so funny.
I loved it back then, though.
Doesn't really hold up for me, but holy shit, did I laugh like an asshole at the time, was American Pie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut. Stanley Kubrick's last movie. Talented Mr. Ripley.
Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah. Jesus' Son. Billy Crudup. Anyone? Heroin addict?
No.
Really, Ricardo? I would have thought you would have seen Jesus' Son.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's really good.
Really?
Billy Crudup plays a heroin addict, and it's just like his misadventures. A lot of Dennis Leary's in it.
Oh.
Jack Black, Dennis Hopper.
I gotta check it out.
You should check it out.
A lot of people don't like it. I, for some reason, loved it, was The Mummy.
I loved it at the time, but yeah. I don't think it holds up.
I don't think I could watch it now. But man, I watched it 100 times.
Yeah, back in the day, I watched it all the time. But now it kind of just, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore.
Another one I haven't seen in forever, but loved it at the time. Idle Hands.
I remember watching that a lot back in the day, but I don't think it's
gonna hold up. I hated Idle Hands because
you always hated it.
I hated it because for a cheap reason, although I don't know, because it's a whole movie made out of one amazing scene in Evil Dead 2.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah,
stretched out to an entire movie.
Yeah,
it's Devin Sawa, right?
Yeah, Devin Sawa, Seth Green,
yeah,
Jessica
Alba.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
First,
do you guys remember?
Movie?
I think so.
After Dark Angel, she did that James Cameron show for a long time.
I thought that was after this.
Was that after?
I don't know. I didn't watch Dark Angel.
I didn't watch it either, so I'm trying to remember.
I watched two episodes and then I was like, I'm done.
The Straight Story. Did anyone here see The Straight Story?
Sounds familiar. It's David Lynch.
The
guy who drives a tractor.
With Richard Farnsworth driving the tractor because he can't drive a car to see his brother, Harry Dean Zan.
Yeah.
Amazing movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember being shocked by how good that was.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see Twin Falls, Idaho?
No.
It's about the two conjoined twins.
No.
It's like a weird little indie movie. I remember it was always on like HBO at like 9 o'clock at night.
It's good.
It's interesting. I really liked it. The little woman from Poltergeist is in it also.
Oh, she creeps me out.
Zelda Rubinstein?
Zelda Rubinstein, yeah. Bringing Out the Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go? Did we already say that?
I have mixed feelings. Like, I remember really loving Go at the time.
I thought Go was on a list you did before.
It might have been. like movies that take place in the night or something. I don't know.
I think so. I think that list.
Yeah, what would the list have been for Go?
I don't know. But I remember being a little disappointed because I had seen, I was a big fan of Swingers, and Doug Liman had directed that. And I was expecting, like, oh, another one. Yes, I'm ready for Swingers Part 2. And it was nothing like that. It was more like Pulp Fiction.
If I had it on the list, it was before I even started using the IMDb app, because it's not on any of my lists. Yeah. And there was only like five that we did before.
Yeah, it was on some lists. Yeah, I remember we were talking about the dinner scene with William Fichtner.
Yeah.
And Jay Moore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is Nicky Katz in that? No.
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 There is a lot of people in it. Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of for some reason.
I don't know. I go back and forth. I feel like it's diminished in my mind because I don't like everything else that John August has done.
Yeah. I can see that.
Another good soundtrack, though. There are a lot of good soundtracks in 1999.
Yeah.
Or at least I really love the Go soundtrack because I like dance music.
I don't think I had this one. Yeah, I wasn't into this one as much.
Had that good new No Doubt song on it.
Don't Speak? Jenny, any honorable mentions for you?
Yeah, I think we named them all. Oh, Run Lola Run.
Oh, that was 99?
Yeah.
American release, 99.
Yeah. Oh.
Run
Lola Run is amazing. Also an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah.
Audition.
Was that?
That was 99?
Wow.
Wow.
Ed TV.
No. Yeah, that's on my list.
Oh, Pokemon movie?
Yeah, I have two movies. So, because the idea is that 99 was both a bridge into shit we're going to see for the next 10 years, you know, like with Matrix and all that stuff. But then also it has some of the worst tendencies of the 90s in The World Is Not Enough, you know, the shitty stretch of Bond movies, and Wing Commander.
Did anybody put American Beauty on their list?
I haven't seen it in forever, so I don't
really. I really liked it at the time, but I don't think it holds up for me.
I think it was the perfect movie for whatever 15-year-old pretentious me.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, no. That's
not good, because you saw that bag scene and you're like, yes, that is everything.
I understand it.
Yeah, but now every time I see some piece of trash floating in the wind on the street, I just laugh every time. I'm like, because I always say, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
And if I
some shitty diaper like floating in the air, it's like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
And if you can, you just kick the bag. You're like, fuck this bag.
I really, really liked Girl Interrupted.
Oh, another amazing soundtrack.
Another amazing soundtrack.
This might be the greatest year for soundtracks.
And that's
James Mangold.
James Mangold.
And Lake Placid. I like Lake Placid. It's fun.
With Oliver
Platt and Bill Pullman.
That's right.
And Brendan Gleeson as the sheriff.
Who's the girl in this?
Bridget Fonda.
Bridget Fonda?
Bridget Fonda.
She hasn't done very much stuff.
No, she retired.
She retired.
Yeah, this was the year of Brendan Fraser, because Blast from the Past as well.
I remember Blast from the Past.
That was a fun movie.
It was funny.
It's not the best, but it's fun. Yeah.
But it was Brendan Fraser.
Christopher Walken's character likes hot Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
We said Bowfinger, right?
We did say Bowfinger.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's one scene in The 13th Warrior that I really love.
I take The 13th Warrior. It's John McTiernan.
It's okay. Yeah, this was the time when I was reading like everything Michael Crichton did.
Yeah.
And I remember reading that, and the movie kind of sucked for me. But
changing the title to what they changed it to was just a shitty idea. Like, Eaters of the Dead is an awesome title.
Yeah, Eaters of the Dead is a good title. But there's a scene where he's learning their language.
That's an awesome scene. Around the fireplace.
That's the only redeemable thing about the movie is that's an amazing scene.
Yeah, and it goes from subtitles to...
It's not even subtitles. It's just him like hearing it,
yeah.
And it like slowly feeds in like pieces of English. But the way it's cut together, like it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the best version of that thing I've ever seen in a movie.
Well, my second favorite scene in that movie is when they make fun of him for not drinking because it's mead. Like it's not wheat based. It's honey, so you're allowed to drink it.
No, I don't remember. See, the language thing is the only thing I remember from the movie. Nice. The Green Mile.
Yeah. Frank Darabont.
Instead of reading it, I just watched A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, Titus was this year too.
Oh,
that was on one of your lists.
It was on
a lot of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Oh, Detroit Rock City.
All right. Well, I feel like we're gonna do a part two of this because this was fun.
Named them all.
Look, we named them all.
We'll do 98.
We probably should just do a different year.
Yeah,
we'll do a different year.
But yeah, follow us on Twitter at
Oh, Blue Streak.
Oh, Blue Streak is great.
I used to love Blue Streak. I watched it all the time.
Martin Lawrence movie is that?
He pretends to be
with?
A cop. He's a criminal and he
tries
to be a cop.
Find
Luke
the
Wilson,
diamond.
Luke Wilson. That's
yeah.
it.
Okay.
And the bad guy from The Mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has that
Clark Gregg?
The voice. No.
Greg Henry.
Maybe.
Greg Henry's the bad guy in The Mask, right? No, he's the underling.
I like when he plays the pizza delivery guy.
I used to love this movie.
The guy from The Usual Suspects.
Yeah. He's the blonde dude. We don't need to know his fucking name, dude. Blue Streak, go see it.
He's the guy who dies at the beginning of Justified, the very first episode. First
one.
Person to die in Justified.
He's the only other guy that wears a fucking mask in The Mask. He's the guy with a voice.
Peter Green.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Come on, dude.
I don't know why you're so mad.
I'm mad at you, dude.
At least I forgot the guy's name is Dorian.
Dorian.
Oh, this was the year of Deuce Bigelow.
Which, the first one's funny.
The first one is funny.
No.
I liked it at the time. I haven't seen it since I was 13 years old. But at the time, I loved it.
Okay. I hope it didn't. I'm going to tell the story. Fuck it. I don't care. I took a writing class with the writer of Deuce Bigelow. I think he wrote all three of them.
There's three of them?
Or two of them, whatever. However many there are. And he also wrote, I think, Corky Romano. But anyway, it was a class, and the guy was a friend of
you
a
know
friend.
Saying it under your breath doesn't do anything when you're by a microphone, right?
I know. The dude was a friend of a friend, so like I didn't pay for the class. I got to go for free, so I went and halfway through the class, he's like, you want to write a script to sell? He's like, this is what I want everybody to do. He's like, everyone write. Write a movie, just a random movie, write it on a piece of paper. So everyone wrote on a piece of paper, and then he put everybody's paper in like a hat, you know, and then he shook it, and then he would take it, and then he had somebody in the front row like pick up two. And he's all, those two movies, put them together, write the story, and that you could sell that script. That was it. That was like his crazy, wild, like get rich quick scheme.
It's like the lazy man's version of William Burroughs.
No,
cut and paste. Yeah. Writing.
He's like, so when someone got like Indiana Jones and RoboCop, he's like, I'd go see that movie. Indiana Jones and RoboCop.
What would that movie even be?
It'd be crazy.
I don't know, but thinking about it excites me.
Like a robot archaeologist.
Is it a period piece? Like, is it a RoboCop in the 30s? Is that what we're talking about?
Steampunk.
No, now you lost me.
Come on.
No steampunk. He wrote Master of Disguise.
Yeah, let's not keep talking about it.
Famous only for, am I not turtly turtle, enough turtle, to be in the Turtle Club? Turtle. Which is in the trailer because no one saw the movie.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
I saw the movie.
Oof. Oh,
in theaters.
Oh. God bless your soul.
And I believe I punched Nate in the arm several hundred times during that movie for making me see that
movie. Turtle thing made me laugh so hard. I kind of, if there had been the opportunity to go see it in the theater, like they were like, hey, you want to go see Master of Disguise? I probably would have said yes.
So bad. So like the only enjoyable part of that movie was when he does a Robert Shaw impersonation.
Oh, that sounds good.
Like he comes like he's in the middle of a chase and he stops to pretend to be Robert Shaw, and he talks about hunting Tommy Cott's down by the lake. And that was the only
time
I laughed.
Dana Carvey.
Oh, yeah, Dana Carvey.
Clean Slate, way better.
Yes.
Remember Clean Slate?
And
Valeria Galino.
Yes. And also good soundtrack.
Remember the soundtrack.
It's got Cool, Crazy, Beautiful World on it.
You can find us on Twitter at The Film Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at @AnAdamScott, @AN_AdamScott.
@BL Bennett.
All right. Until next time. Hey, have a good week.